popping, everybody. It's part two of part one. We just recorded part one, but something happened, as this happens, and it was not a good recording. Thank God Jay listened to it. So we can, well, we can add part two to part one and recreate what parts of part one were.
Well, that sounds confusing.
I know. It's hopefully somebody knows what I mean. We got Mark here from Berkeley. ML's here from Detroit. ML Elric and the wonderful Fox 2. Jay from Plymouth. I'm here from Ferndale. It's the Drew and Mike podcast. And here we go. ML. It's as if you just got here.
Oh, hey. What are you guys doing down here?
ML found the green room in no time, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. And he brought us a gift, too. A sign.
Oh, yeah. The warning, fart zone, enter at your own risk, which he picked up at
Five Below.
That's Five Below. You can find many quality products for under $5.
That's fabulous. Oh, everything's for less than five. It's funny. I've never seen that store.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chinese prisoners work cheap. Put it in a big container and send it over.
How can you make money on a store that everything is $5 or less?
How do you make money at a dollar store?
Well, that's impossible. All those go out of business.
Do you ever go to the dollar store?
No, never.
There's one like right by you at Coolidge and Nine Mile that's loaded with stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what that I want for under a dollar?
I don't know.
Don't buy condoms there.
Knickknacks.
Toothpaste, toothbrushes.
Stickers for a two-year-old.
Yeah, tools that break immediately.
Crap, basically, yeah. Drew.
I have too much crap already.
Well,
I mean, I don't have a problem finding crap. It seems to just...
But it's all a dollar.
Suppositories, so that'll help with that.
Okay.
Everything's a dollar. And nothing's ever on the shelf. I never understood that.
And imagine the dollar store in Canada, where it's really like a 78-cent store.
How confusing.
If you ever have to send a greeting card, buy it there.
Yeah. In part one, we touched on Michigan State, which everyone seems to be in full agreement. This is going to be one grim year for Michigan State.
No way. I got State by 50.
I can see it. Boy, I seriously, are you expecting a complete, just a beat down?
I think we'll stay within 50. I'll tell you what, Spartans are too young. They're too hurt. They're too discombobulated. They're too chaotic. If they can keep it close, I think we'll call that a good day. But
how much do you see them scoring against that defense?
Against Michigan's defense?
Yeah.
I mean, if they can figure out who they're playing, I think they can score. They just can't stop them. I mean, that's the thing is unless they're gonna run the ball all day just to chew up clock, I think Michigan is going to go to town. I think our defense is just – they're hurt. And they're not stopping anybody.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. Has State, besides the Notre Dame game, have they showed any offense in the last four games, the last five games?
Well, they scored quite a bit against Northwestern.
Northwestern, that's right.
They had 40 points. One was a pick six, but they couldn't move the ball when they needed to. And
I was certain they were going to stay with Terry after he came in and threw for 280 yards in less than half a game.
No, but that was garbage time. Yeah, he was. Oh. No. He threw a big pick. He needs to play defensive back or receiver. They need to go with the Keith Nichol plan because he's not going to be a quarterback there. He's an athlete.
Fifth-year senior. Right?
No, O'Connor is the senior. Terry is
I'm sorry. O'Connor was the one that had the good game that day.
Yeah, well, he did, but the first touchdown he threw, he underthrew it.
That's true.
Defender was on his ass and popped it up in the air, and Shelton just grabbed it and turned and ran. In fact, it happened in front of us. I mean, I'm in high seats, but it was on that end of the field. And when the ball popped up in the air, Shelton kind of grabbed it and almost like hesitated like, oh, my God, the ball's for me. Kind of took a step to turn and make sure, this is really happening. And then he ran in the end zone. So
He did have one good long ball in that game.
Shelton. O'Connor is not the problem.
He throws a good long ball, O'Connor.
Sometimes he does. I think we're talking about Terry, aren't we?
We're talking about Terry.
No, O'Connor. And O'Connor, the thing about O'Connor is
he's a fifth-year senior.
O'Connor.
Okay,
number seven.
We're talking about O'Connor.
Beat Ohio State.
I'm sorry.
He plays really well when he runs. He throws well on the run. And the thing that frustrates me is when you can't keep guys out of your backfield, they should have that quarterback movement. He should be rolling out. They should be running some options. They should be doing something where or doing flea flickers or something where they can get him moving and just get those defensive backs. Get some chaos in the flat. Do something because the receivers always seem to be covered. He has to run. I don't think the decision-making is always the best, but he's a guy, a mobile quarterback, who if they played like an old-time Oklahoma or Nebraska type of game, mm-hmm. I think he'd be a lot more effective than going downfield.
But they have good, fast specialty play. You know, Donnie Corley is phenomenal. He's going to be great.
If he's running the routes. I think there's a question about whether he's but there's running the plays.
The point being, there's a way to get the ball in his hands. Whether it's on, because what we were talking about
should
this in
be.
Between, you know,
yeah.
I felt like I hadn't seen many jet sweeps or bubble screens. You said they ran a bunch versus Notre Dame.
Yeah, and it worked because that was another
Those
game where there was
now.
An offensive explosion. They just shut the offense down after the half.
Yeah.
So
they safety danced.
And they did
victory.
The same thing against Nebraska last year. I would have thought D'Antonio learned after Nebraska that
almost
you do what
that
a coach
game.
Like Harbaugh and Saban does, which is you stand on the neck until you hear it snap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't say, come on up, pal, because you don't want to leave a hungry man alive.
Yeah, you let the other team back in the game. And, you know, if you've got a big lead, I don't know. It's just such a – it's kind of like the Dean Smith four corners of football that, you know, just run, just eat clock. And
well, why do you ever go away with what's working? I mean, if you
I don't
get
know.
To that point,
I think
what
it's
you're
a
doing
bad...
is what's working, so keep doing it.
Yeah, I think it's an overly conservative mindset.
Yeah.
And D'Antonio has been accused of being very conservative, and he's been
Absolutely.
Pretty damn conservative.
He never runs it up, even against the punk teams. And usually – you know, before a Spartan game, they'll play Thunderstruck, and they have a little animation where Sparty comes to life, and he leads the troops, and he pulls his sword out, and he slashes the other team's logo in half, and everybody
Ooh.
Cheers. When they played Air Force last year, they didn't do it because they wanted to be respectful to the military and the armed forces.
Really?
Which is very classy, but I think D'Antonio is always worried about showing respect to everybody and all. It's like, to some extent, I guarantee you, if Michigan goes up big and – I expect him to, and I hope I am wrong, as I am often wrong about things, but Harbaugh will not take his foot off the gas until the tank is dry or the car is in the air off the cliff. He will do everything he can to turn them into a grease stain.
D'Antoni's in a hang-up about respect, man.
Yeah.
Although he didn't have much respect for that year Michigan was terrible. Was that 2013 where they scored at the end, Michigan finally did?
Oh, well.
And he went for the touchdown at the very end.
Because they put the spike in the field.
Oh, yeah. How disrespectful. A thing that isn't a real thing.
Well, you know.
Oh, that was stupid.
It was dumb to do.
The whole thing
was
stupid.
Just as dumb to be pissed off about it.
Well, but.
There was a lot of history.
It was a rallying cry, too, though, because Michigan was coming into that game saying, boy, they really manhandled us last year. They beat us up. And I think he didn't want his guys to come into it thinking, and we're going to do it again. You know, you got to keep your guys thinking that this game is up for grabs. And I think I think Harbaugh very smartly is now saying, you know, oh, D'Antonio is a fine coach. It's tough to praise a lot of the guys on the field. So you praise the coach because he wants to make sure that people say, well, that Harbaugh's okay. Yeah, that Harbaugh's okay until he runs another 6, 7, 10 touchdowns in and he has the water boy carrying the ball in the fourth quarter.
The dumbest thing about that spike was the fact that Brady Hoke had no idea it was going to happen.
He didn't know anything. He didn't know they were wearing throwback uniforms that one game.
Well, that was Brandon. That was Dave Brandon who just pulled the
trigger.
But
he was still the coach.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even a spike. It was like
It was held a tent down. It was a tent.
It wasn't a spear. It wasn't. I mean, it was pretty pathetic.
It wasn't real grass anyway, right?
Oh, at Spartan Stadium, it is.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay.
Because we got, you know, the agriculture school and everything.
Oh, that's right.
ML, you got a big story on Fox 2. This will probably be tonight as people are listening, Tuesday night. And I know you wanted to come in somewhat in conjunction with that, even though you'd come in anytime, I'm sure.
That's right. I just salads, so I'm here for that.
Yeah, that's right. And this is a cool story, actually. I'm glad you're doing it because when it comes to the school board, how do you make people pay attention to the school board election unless you do a crazy story? And you guys are doing a boatload of research for this.
Oh, yeah. No, this is going to air Tuesday at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and we'll probably have it on again after the World Series. So
Ooh. Stay
tuned to Fox all day tomorrow.
Will there be massive promos running?
Hopefully they're running already because we put over 2 months into this, and we pulled together a team of reporters from the Free Press, from Detroit Public Radio, and from Bridge Magazine, which is affiliated with a think tank in Lansing.
How often do you do that?
Never. It's never been done before.
Because, you know, you always have the ABC, Washington Post poll or whatever, yeah. NBC.
And they don't work on that together. They just split the cost of having the poll done.
Right.
You know, it's just like, so they each pay 10
But grand, you know you're getting a better poll more than likely because they're, right. yeah. they're combining
and,
forces.
Sure. And they have some standards and things like that. But no, this has never been done before. You've got a TV station, a newspaper, a radio station, and a magazine coming together to tackle this massive election. You know, generally, when there's an election, there's a primary where they thin it down to a smaller group of candidates, and then there's the election. Like in Detroit, there's always 100 people who run for city council. They cut it down to 18, and then there's 18 people you have a couple months to get to know. We have 63 people running for school board. There's been 4 months for these people to get in the race, to run, and for 7 seats. So you can't get to know them all. Mm-hmm. So no. What we did was we put together this team. We invited the candidates to tell us what their priorities are, send us their resumes, tell us anything they want about how good they are and how bad they are. Interestingly, none of them knows how bad they are. And the thing that's really interesting about that is when we started investigating their backgrounds, we found out that more than half of these 63 people, 36 candidates in all, have either had a bankruptcy or foreclosure, lost a home to forfeiture, have been evicted, owe federal income tax, or have been sued for not paying their bills.
And there's a school board that's gone bankrupt.
Yeah, they're going to take over a school that just got bailed out, $617 million yeah. from the good people in the state of Michigan. We bailed this district out.
And that's not enough, by the way.
Right. So
complaints are that that's not enough money, which I find it difficult to accept that as a complaint. But
they wanted $700 million. And so the idea is, they're just starting with 1 foot in the grave, and who are we going to put on top of the school board? You know, people who probably couldn't balance their checkbook.
Wow. So how many of the 63?
36 of the 63.
Jeez.
So that's
that is
actually that might be the score on Saturday, 63 to 36.
Better not let up 36. I would assume though there's some qualified people out of that 63.
I think there are. Well, I mean, there are
27 who don't have a bankruptcy or taxes or whatever.
The other thing is we all make mistakes, and Michigan's recession was brutal, and a lot of people lost their homes during the housing crisis, some of them through no fault of their own. So the fact that you've had a financial setback doesn't mean you're not qualified to serve, but it does mean you should have some other tools, and what we found is that most of these people are tools.
Oh, boy.
How long a story is this going to be? This sounds like a long story.
It's actually going to be pretty reasonable for us. It's going to be about 6 minutes, which is a long TV
a long story,
but
yeah.
not as long as some of the stories that we've done. And it's also going to be in the Detroit Free Press. It'll be on the radio, and it'll be on Bridge Magazine's website. But the coolest part is we have this interactive
database.
Where you can type in a candidate's name, and it'll take you to a little dossier we've put together like a playing card. You get their picture, you see their age, their experience, their qualifications. And then it also has what they say they would do, and it has all of our findings of all the bad stuff we found.
Good.
Or let me say all the troubling things we found. And if you don't want to go candidate by candidate, fair enough, I understand there's 63 of them. Believe me, we didn't want to look at that many. You can search for everyone that's been bankrupt. You can search for everyone that's had a foreclosure. You can search for everybody who's had a bad debt or an eviction. You just press a button,
weeds them out.
You hit the return, and you get a list of all the guys who've had these problems. So it's something that you can manipulate to give you the information you want, and
some very perfunctory journalism.
Oh yeah, well, I got to give a lot of credit to Patrick Byrne at the Detroit Free Press, who's made this data work. He's made it. You know, we've done the reporting, but he's made it highly highly accessible to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you do these big things and you come up with all this information and people look and they say,
overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What are you going to do? Highlight the names in the story like we do?
Yeah. I got to do the jumble now. Yeah. I could read all this shit or I could, you know, get going on the soda coup.
Now, when you do the story on Fox, you're going to have that sweet giant iPad that you like to sweep with?
You know,
it's
we're not.
My favorite ML stories.
Yeah,
no!
No, we're not. Because
we've
done a lot of that, but we...
Drew and I suspect you get off on that giant iPad.
I just like touching the screen.
I always think the guy touching it is not really controlling it. There's somebody really backstage who's probably, you know, pushing the buttons.
Probably, but
I wish
it's a way to add moving pictures to a, you know, pretty.
Yeah,
no, it's very cool.
Stagnant story.
Cool. We have done that, but with this one, we have some more experts talking about it. We have a woman who's covered the Detroit Public Schools for 15 years, so she brings a lot of expertise and institutional knowledge. And we have a guy from the Citizens Research Council, which is a nonprofit that studies politics and issues in government, and they render unbiased opinions about things. I mean, these are guys who are, I mean, and I say this lovingly, real geeks. They're not coming from a political perspective, and they study these things. So when they tell you something about a proposal, they don't tell you whether we should have gun control or not. They say if this passes, it'll be harder to buy a gun, or if this doesn't pass, then guns will be more readily available, and then you can decide whether it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
So he weighs in on the schools, too, and what's at stake, because really, you know, I think a lot of people think if Detroit fails, tough luck Detroit. Well, the truth is, if Detroit fails, those kids are the ones that are going to break into your house. Those kids are the ones that are going to shoot you. And if the schools fail, we're the ones who are going to have to pay the bill to bail it out.
Now, did you find any, like, nefarious characters that might not have any, like, legal filings, but might have some other legal issues?
We did find a couple people who have some odd situations, and this is the first of a series of stories we're going to do, so I don't want to give away all of it, but there was one guy, and he did have some financial problems, but and we'll tell you who it is tomorrow, but we found one guy who has been arrested twice in the last 10 years or so for, I think the charge is attempting to engage another in the solicitation of prostitution. Oh, no. Oh. Attempting to engage another in an act of prostitution.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. And
hey, he only got caught twice, and all the times he got away with it.
Well, one charge was dismissed because the cop didn't show up, and the other one he bargained down to disorderly conduct. And I think the thing when people watch this story that's really going to blow their mind is where this guy works.
Okay.
So
I'll take the tease.
There's a bit of a cliffhanger there.
I'll be watching.
Let's just say
Fulmer
tricks
won the American League Rookie of the Year.
Yep. I had no idea they were nice announcing that today.
News. Yeah, this is a little early, isn't it?
Oh, I thought. I'm sorry. You know what? It's Sporting News. So.
Oh,
Sporting News Rookie of the Year.
I'm sorry.
It's still Rookie of the Year. No, that's a big trophy.
Who's the other
it's
candidate?
A trophy.
Somebody's hitting the.
Who's number
ball.
Two?
I'm looking at it right now.
There's a. Oh God.
Who does number two work for?
Good question.
Who does two work for?
You've been having a ball with that story about the woman who is trying to prove she lives in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The three name lady. What's her name?
Betty Cook Scott.
Oh yeah.
Another story. Was it last week?
Yeah, if people remember the first story, that's the one where she accused me of telling people that she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to go talk to my boss and all.
Yeah, she's driving away. Yeah. I'm going to talk to your boss.
Yeah.
And you're chasing the car.
Did she?
She did.
She did. Okay.
Yeah, in fact,
did boss laugh at her?
After we had our encounter, I went to Tim Hortons and I pulled up at the station and lo and behold, she was the car in front of me at the security.
Did you honk and wave?
No, I told the security guy, I said, do not let her on the property because she's a retired cop and she's not shy about telling people, you know, I can take care of this. I'm retired police. And I'm like, we know what that means. That means, you know, bad things.
Well, she was she really made me laugh a few times in the story. And I love that her neighbors wanted to bust her, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was the second story, which you can find on our website or if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook. But we showed how she claimed two different properties as her home. And we kind of left people wondering, well,
this is so commonplace.
Yeah,
you do stories like this every election, ML.
Well, it turns out she lived in a third place. So it wasn't this one or that one. It was another one. And it was her friends and her neighbor who narked on her.
Yeah, because they basically said, we're sick of this bullshit. We're really tired of this. And, you know, so they weren't shy about it. A lot of times the neighbors, they don't want to get involved or they just don't want to say anything. But, yeah, you found some cool people, and I totally got their attitude. It's like,
oh, yeah,
we're tired of this. I mean, I'm amazed. There have been so many corruption stories lately, like this Rizzo thing.
Alleged corruption, but yeah.
Yeah, alleged corruption. And the demolition story, which, you know, Charlie spent a lot of time on, is just so rotten that they're not taking the lowest bids.
We should talk about this demolition thing because Charlie has taken a lot of heat. The city has pushed back really hard on him. They've done everything. They've threatened him with lawsuits. They've tried to intimidate him. And what happens at that press conference? The mayor comes out and basically says Charlie was right. Now, he didn't use any of those words. But if you
didn't mention his name, didn't apologize to him.
The worst part was he acted surprised about it, like he didn't know, when Charlie has him on tape lying to his face 4 straight times.
Well, the best part about it is he comes out and says, "Hey, we got another $42 million to knock down houses. And we have been sitting on it because they wouldn't let us use it because they found some problems. But $42 million to knock down houses." It's like,
yeah, did anyone know that program had been shut down in August? No one even knew, did they?
No. No. And I think there were still demolitions. It's just that federal project was. But
they went to such great pains, though, to explain why this thing went from $10,000 a house to $16,000 a house. You know, this baloney about, oh, we have to add 4 more inches of dirt in the, you know, because when you demolish a house, there's the basement and you pour the crap
clean
in there
fill.
Or whatever. And it's like, oh, please, 4 inches of dirt. And then I think they said, didn't they say something about having to grow grass or
well, yeah,
some
top
bullshit.
Soil on
that
it.
Was ridiculous.
They changed the law.
One of the stories Charlie did was showed that, I mean, what they're supposed to do is take everything out of there except for the foundation. You can leave basically the footprint. You can't put all the junk back in the hole. You have to haul it away, and you have to fill it with a certain grade of dirt. You know, believe it or not, dirt has different ratings, but it has to be clean fill, and then on top of it, you have to put a certain kind of grass seed that grows fast so that the place doesn't become full of weeds. And Charlie went out there and showed not only do they have people on lots that are full of rocks, but that the city, through the mayor's office and the mayor's corporation council, which is basically the city's head of the law department, were trying to retroactively get city council or the state of Michigan to approve only using so much dirt, which Charlie, I think, you know, made a pretty good point. Which is, if you're trying to get him to do it retroactively, you must have been doing something you shouldn't have been doing, and now you're trying to make sure that it's
exactly
going to be okay. And so, I mean, I think there's a lot more to come in this demolition thing, but I thought it was really good to see Charlie, who in a lot of ways has been out there on his own, you know, get some vindication from the very guy who's been saying that.
Without mentioning his name, of course, which is just rotten. And he attacked him in the state of the city. Not only that, that whole BS line, which really made me sick because I just knew it was BS when he said something to the effect. I mean, he was really maligning Charlie, and he said something to the effect that that's the last time I'll leave two department heads in a room with a reporter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? These two guys, one of them's making $200,000. He can't handle a reporter. And when they were talking to Charlie, too, it was with, and I'm not trying to put her down. I mean, she's just doing her job. What's the gal from Fox 2 that works for the city?
Alexis Wiley.
Who's a wonderful woman. I want to say that for sure.
She interviewed
Alexis.
Drew outside the Charlie Sheen show.
That's right. The Charlie Sheen show so many people walked out on. But yeah, she's in there with the two guys, and they're talking to Charlie like he's a third grader. Like, Charlie, you just don't understand. And Charlie's going, no, you're right, I don't understand, because this. And they just were ignoring anyway.
Well, the best part about that was when LaDuff said, how much you make, to that guy, and he looks at Alexis Wiley. To have her bail him out, she's like, well, you can tell him. It's public. You're public. You can tell him.
Yeah, like, Alexis, like I said, Alexis is great. But, you know, when you look at those stories and you look at what's happening, people try and intimidate you and everybody tries to back you down and everybody thinks the mayor was, you know, came down from Mount Olympus. And there's some things he's doing well. They are knocking down houses. Is the price right? Doesn't seem like it.
No.
There are lights on in the city where they weren't on before. So we got to give the man his due.
But you've got to question people.
You've got to hold him accountable. And everybody's been in such a hurry to kiss the butt of Mike Duggan. And, you know, hey, let's pat him on the back when he's doing well, but let's punch him in the face when he's not. A mayor who is unaccountable is a disaster, is a danger, not only to us, but to himself.
After the one we just had?
Well, the bar was so
low. How does that happen?
He lowered the bar so low that it's easy.
I don't know. I'm just incredulous that something involving contractors.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Hey, speaking of demolition, there's a story. You guys had it on the lead. I don't know if you saw it. Channel 4 had it as well. But they were repainting the Fisher plant to get rid of graffiti.
Oh, graffiti, okay.
Yeah, and they were doing it at the Packard plant, the part the city owns. Why not just tear those things down?
Well, a bucket of paint's about $8.
Well, then why bother?
Demolition is multi-$1 million.
How much would it cost to, say, to knock that thing down? I know it's a huge plant.
That's the one that burned just off of 75.
Yeah, you can see it coming into the city if you're coming from the north.
Well, one of the problems with those places is, first of all, if it's burned, it becomes a little easier in a way because it's a hazard. But you first of all have to assess it, which means you send people in to see whether there's asbestos. Now, in those plants, they're going to find asbestos. Now, to just get the asbestos out of there, you're talking about guys in hazmat suits, and it has to go to a special landfill, and you got to put a tent over the whole thing so the asbestos fibers don't blow all over the neighborhood. And that's one of the things they say about knocking down the houses. We're knocking down so many houses, we can't have all this stuff blowing around, so that increases the cost. But so once you, they call it mediate or remediate the property and take all the dangerous stuff out of it, then you got to knock it down. Well, these things are built to withstand direct hits from a bomb.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So taking it down is not easy. And once you get it down, you got to clear it. So now you got a ton of rubble to put somewhere. You got to put in a special landfill. That's expensive. And then you're left with what they call a brownfield, which is a shit field, which means you can't build anything there. You can't grow anything there. You can't put housing there.
So it's just not worth it for
unless
the
you're going to take all the dirt out of there. I mean, if you were in a place like Manhattan where...
You know, you can
build a site worth a billion dollars, and you'll spend half a billion to knock it down because you're going to build something worth a billion. Then you do it. But here, we've got so much empty land. We've got so many.
It looks silly, though. It looked like they put a new canvas up for more graffiti.
Well, they sold it. They sold the property.
The Fisher?
Oh, not the Fisher. I'm sorry. No.
Packard?
I think half of it. Not all of the plant.
I don't know. I mean, there have been questions about who
owns it. Peruvian guy.
I know. That story is the craziest story. How can you not know who bought something? Anyway. You know, I just thought of something. We had a failure in part one, not only the fact that the recording, for some reason, and this happens, it's real scratchy. We can't use it. So we're essentially repeating parts of the show. Although I have to say, it sounds very original so far.
Part one had a great moment. I couldn't speak for about 10 minutes. I was laughing so hard.
Oh, yeah. That's the part you'll never hear. The call to the guy, the father of the woman who went in for a kidney stone and gave birth to a baby a couple hours later.
Wow.
And he was – this you'll appreciate this, ML. He was blown away that Twitter was really mean. But
his baby?
Because, how do you not know you're pregnant?
How these idiots not know they're pregnant?
But, of course, we heard about menstruating a bunch. Drew kept talking about it and wouldn't stop talking
about
menstruating.
No, I was trying to get out of the phone call because the guy kept referring to her period, and he said menstruating about three times, and I was just getting really – I was getting a little queasy. So I just wanted to get off the phone, but while we were in the conversation, it's something of the baby being breached,
which was the other reason they didn't know. So he's explaining breach, like that his feet were at his head and he was folded over, and Drew said, like Larry King at the Dodgers, which killed me because we've been laughing watching him when he was sitting behind the Dodgers Cubs game, and as the game went on, he would sink further in his chair and his legs would come up. Like he'd almost give a breech birth to that.
But when he disappeared, you said Larry King just folded over himself and he disappeared into his chair.
His chair,
and that was the first thing I thought of when he said, yeah, so the baby's folded over in himself. Just like Larry King.
So we had an image of Larry King baby.
He was born with glasses.
I couldn't
receding
read.
Hairline.
Suspenders.
It'd be like 2001 where he gets so old he's actually reborn, right?
He's Benjamin Button. He's going to start going the other way.
I can't believe Larry goes to all those games. I mean, what is he, 82 years old?
Yeah, he's got
I like his
else
write-ups
to do.
Afterwards. Great game.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you follow him on Twitter?
Way to go, Dodgers. No, but remember he used to do the movie reviews? He'd be Tom Cruise, a real star.
That's
the whole review. You're like, what the hell? You
every
worked there for 2 hours,
loved
that's all you came up with?
Because he always had a good review.
Well, he would do his column of just, unrelated thoughts, just anything basically that spilled out of his brain, you just write it down. It was, I don't know.
Great restaurant.
Yeah, does that now. Yeah.
If there's a better restaurant than McDonald's, tell me what it is.
Yeah.
He does that now on Sundays.
Julia Roberts is a pretty woman.
We also called this guy who is getting death threats because he wrote to the editor of the newspaper that he wants women over 20 to stop wearing yoga pants. And so a rally of 400 women in yoga pants walked by his house. And I mean, for some reason, it's just inflamed females in Connecticut near where he lives.
I think
if I say that I don't want women to wear tops, 400 of them might walk by
my house. They just might.
Women should always have, they should always be fully clothed. They should always have tops
on. These topless women, I can't stand it. Topless women under 20, under 30.
What's going on here?
Yeah, so now we're going to have, there's going to be a protest in front of Drew's house, just titties marching by.
We called this guy, first Joe called this guy, Alan Sorrentino, and he just completely blasted Joe's ear off. He was yelling so loud. He was so upset because this is he's being targeted by the media and somebody's got to do something about it. So then we called him on the phone on the air to tell him that we feel he's being targeted by the media so we could, you know, get him to.
It was one of your more brilliant outgoing messages. Really, it really was.
And
he hooked him. He bit. He called back.
Yeah, he called back, and for some reason it disconnected, and we called him back, and at first ring it went right to voicemail. I think he's getting a lot of phone calls. But why don't we try him one more time in part two, well, or part one?
There's not enough media to target him and Donald Trump.
No, no, clearly not.
I know. I can't believe you people in the media are doing
that.
Trying to rig election. Did you hear the news?
You are a nasty man.
Well, that's a truth.
No, the media does not like Donald Trump. I think it's pretty clear, but a lot of people don't like Donald Trump.
I think he's great. I want those debates every week. I don't want Dancing with the Stars. I love that puppet. No puppet.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're the puppet.
Yeah, I know you are, but what am I?
He can be really. I don't know. I think it's just the id in him is always alive. It's always running things.
He's entertaining.
Away.
I just don't
no,
want
he's him. Entertaining.
I
he
just
is.
Don't want him to be president.
I thought he was more entertaining in the primary.
Okay, now to that point, wouldn't the media love if he won? Because then they could cover him.
So.
They could cover him instead of her.
Well, I think the media is concerned that we're all going to be rounded up and put in a camp. I think that's the biggest concern.
Yeah,
the
media would have you believe that all minorities are going to be rounded up and interred.
I mean,
like
the media
Japanese...
is going to get rounded up. He'll have the minorities building his casinos, you know.
There was a story.
I'd put you in jail.
There was a story in the New York Post. There were five media members that went out with two heads of his campaign to Sapphires in Vegas before the debate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll find the story.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they don't hate the media. The media doesn't hate him that much.
Well, I mean, you know, look at Stuart Varney, who's openly said he's endorsed Donald Trump, Sean Hannity. I mean.
Hi, this is Alan. I can't get the call right now, but leave your message. And
tell me your deadline was extended.
Thank you.
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Alan, it's the Drew and Mike podcast. We're calling from Michigan. We're working on an important story. We feel the media is targeting you, and we really wanted your input in the story. I got my deadline pushed back. If you can call us back, it's very important. I feel this story is just being handled completely the wrong way, and we'd like to do the right thing because you're really taking a beating here, and it's not fair. We're outraged. Please call us back. Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
So is his thing...
Why is Donald Trump saying goodbye to me?
here's that page six story. Sources say that Trump campaign senior communications advisor Jason Miller, along with female colleagues, including senior advisor...
Hey, female colleagues, that's kind of hot.
H.A. Delgado and a deputy communications director, Jessica Ditto, went with several members of the media from the networks, including CNN, NBC, ABC, to Sapphires Las Vegas strip club the night before.
Well.
Whoa. And Miller, the guy that went, tweeted out before they left, yep, more evidence of a media rigged election.
Did you see that reporter who used to work for Breitbart who got shoved by his...
way back.
She is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Redhead? That's a great question.
I don't know. Where did she go?
I don't know. It sounded like she had been a pretty hot media ticket, and sometimes people like that, they land very well, or sometimes everybody says, yeah, we don't want you to be the story. Just report the story. So she seemed to really enjoy being the story, but I think she also rightly felt sold out by her bosses for failing to back. And, you know, people talk about...
Wasn't it kind of stupid?
Well, I mean, I think the issue was she got shoved, and instead of saying, you know, I'm sorry...
It wasn't like she was shoved to the ground or something.
She was grabbed by the arm. She was bruised, remember? She showed pictures.
Yeah, I think it was more that the way they reacted looked
bad, yeah.
They should have just said, hey, if something happened, we apologize. Sorry about that. But then they started attacking her, and that's the problem. The campaign, they just... You know, it's all offense. And
yeah.
And so I think that was part of the problem. The other thing is people talk about the media being so anti-Trump.
She writes for the Huffington Post now.
Okay. But Breitbart Media, they're the editor and the top people are running his campaign. The media is – there's some portion of the media that's very pro-Trump. I mean, it's – It's kind of crazy.
Roger Ailes was. I mean,
yeah, Roger
got blown
Fox.
I tell you, when I turn on the Today Show and the and GMA every morning, which I do, that's the first thing I do. It's probably because I get hit with those things first thing in the morning. I mean, if there's a bad story on Trump, it's like boom, first story. And there's a lot of moralizing too. From
I think he invites that though.
Well, I mean, I have to tell
you can moralize on her too. I mean, certainly been a fair share of her, and I'm not for him. I just felt it very early on from the moment the Secret Service guy put that book out, and I was like, this will be a great story. You know, I'm curious because I figured I'm going to see this guy all over the place. He couldn't get one fucking interview.
But you understand how that works. I mean, he
the Clinton people threatened all those shows. They went right to him and said, don't have that motherfucker on.
So he says, but he's on Fox and Friends. He's on every Fox channel. Why would ABC and NBC want
to put him on
Fox.
He had one interview on Fox. That's it. That was
all. I think he's on a few Fox shows.
I mean, Fox shows.
He wasn't on Hannity. He wasn't on with O'Reilly. He was just on Fox and Friends.
Oh, I don't know. He was on the Fox network.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though.
Yeah, but that's one station. That's one network.
I know. But
Trump guy? You know, the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal and lambasted Trump?
Yeah.
He was everywhere.
Okay. Well, usually when someone has a book out, like this guy did, they tend to go only to one or the other, and they have exclusivity. Then the other ones don't want to have you on. If you're on NBC or ABC, how many times do you see somebody, unless they're a major celebrity, promote the same book on both?
Well, maybe not GMA or Today, but I would certainly think you could get on a morning show. I mean, that book it had some great stuff in it. I mean, it shocks me that you wouldn't want at least to talk about some of the things in that book.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth talking about. But I mean, they have what's her name? The girl we really like that's running Trump's campaign now.
Marianne.
I'm drawing a total.
Marianne.
It's not Marianne. Conway
or something.
The hell's her first name? Something Ann Conway. Is it Marianne?
Carrie. Marianne.
Huh?
Kellyanne. She's really good.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah, he should have had her a long time ago, and he should listen to her.
She does more appearances, and you never see her surrogates out there. You never see her campaign advisors, which I think is ridiculous. She's just laying low.
Well, I think in her case, isn't she she tells the story better than anyone. I mean, if she can do every interview,
I know,
I'd have her doing every interview.
Yeah.
That SNL skit, did you watch SNL? It's on a network. You can watch it.
I'm usually at a local establishment at that time of night on Saturday.
That is a story, A Day in the Life of Kellyanne Conway. Oh,
so
it was really good. I mean, it's just as soon as she got started, you know, making breakfast for the kids, whatever, you know, it was like phone call, a new Trump emergency, and the next thing you know, she's on some show explaining it or spinning it, and then she's back to her activities, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, of course, it was just really brilliantly done. I thought it was very funny. I mean, and usually, I don't know, Saturday Night Live's done a really good job with elections.
I think they're the cold open, and I think the news has been really good.
Yeah, and some stuff in between, too. But a lot of times, for a lot of years there, I just thought a lot of that stuff was boring. It wasn't well-written. It wasn't funny. There's a lot to be funny about now, and they do have Alec Baldwin doing Trump, which is... Yeah,
did you see Black Jeopardy?
Yes.
Where
yes.
Hanks played the white Trump guy on there, and they realized, they have a lot of common people
yeah,
and Trump supporters.
Tom Hanks was the...
Yeah. But the idea is they're both you know, they both are fearful of government.
Right.
Crank this thing, Jay.
They didn't want the hug.
A day off with Kellyanne. A day off with Kellyanne Conway. There she's getting up. The girl that plays Hillary is playing her. Got pancakes. Uh-oh, there's a phone. Incoming. Sad face, she's on CNN.
Donald Trump has tweeted yet again that Hillary Clinton cheated on her husband. Kellyanne, how do you defend this tweet?
Jake, that's unfair, because what Mr. Trump was getting at here, it clearly is not that Hillary cheated on Bill, but that she's been cheating the American people for decades.
But that's not what the tweet said.
I think if you really look at it, if you read the whole tweet, that is what it said.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in on your day off.
Of course.
Little yoga with the girls. Up. Oh. Oh, no.
Okay,
back on
so
CNN.
This tweet is actually taken out of context. Of course, Mr. Trump thinks that Mexicans can read. And actually, what he wants them to read the most is Hillary Clinton's 33,000 missing emails.
Okay, Kellyanne.
We good?
Sure.
He's painting in the yard.
Oh. Okay, so this one is simple, Jake. Mr. Trump did the deaf voice at his rally this morning so that deaf people could hear him, too.
The deaf voice.
Okay, so yes, Mr. Trump did challenge Obama to a penis off, and if the president would simply produce his penis, we could get back to talking about what's really important, which is jobs.
She's shopping.
Yes, he did say that it is gross to watch gay people eat pasta because he wants them to eat healthy food.
Why even say that, Kellyanne?
Jake, I have to put this ice cream in the freezer. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Rollerblading.
Of course, black people don't have one less toe than white people. Of course, children are not just shrunken down humans.
In the bathtub with a glass of wine with her husband.
Of course, Donald didn't hold up a little cup of his own semen at a rally and say, this becomes a person? No way.
But he did say that. There's tape.
What do you want me to say? Yes, he said that. He's crazy.
Great.
He's the worst person I've ever known. What do you want?
That's what I want. All right, well, thank you, Kellyanne Conway. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Us? Who's us?
Hi, Jake.
Kellyanne.
Yeah, it's my day off.
Look at Bruce Jenner before the operation.
Jeez. Shrunken humans.
Gay people eating pasta.
That'd be whole wheat pasta.
You know, there's a number of cases where he has described someone as being disgusting. The way they eat is disgusting. He really has a thing about watching people eat.
Well, Rosie, because she ate all the cake.
Yeah.
You know, it's the one thing
he's really got some serious hang-ups about some really goofy things.
I've heard a few people say this, both people I know, but then also nationally. And someone on CNN said, I don't know if you saw, or not CNN, but 60 Minutes, a story where they went to Ohio and they talked to Ohio voters. Did you see it? It was on last night.
I did, and I watched the first. I watched the story about athletes getting ripped off by that dumbass.
Oh, wow.
Which, by the way, I want to talk about that. But anyway, what were you going to say?
But a couple people have said that when he made fun of the reporter, the handicapped reporter,
yeah,
that was the end. They're like, I can never vote for somebody who made fun of a disability.
That guy's a friend of mine. He's actually one of the gutsiest reporters you'll ever meet. I mean, this guy, he...
It comes up all the time.
Yeah, he's really...
I've heard all the time. So much since then that it's like one of the things you forget because there's been so many other things.
Well, it's in a commercial
true.
Now.
Because, you know, half
it's in a commercial. That's why I see it every 2 hours of the TV.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So what was his take on it? Have you talked to him since then?
No, I posted something on Facebook and sent him a note after it happened. But this guy is... I mean, he has a serious disability, but he's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. Mm-hmm. He's gone to Mexico.
What is his disability? Here's Trump, by the way.
I don't know what
it is.
Very
rare, right?
Yeah,
nice
I mean, it's...
Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said. This is 14 years ago. They didn't do a retraction.
But he's you know he's born with this malady, and you know it's hard for him to hold a pen. He can't move his arms. He can't grab things. He has very limited motion, and he's in chronic pain. But he's also a guy who's gone down to Mexico and hung out with the federales, and I mean he's done some things that able-bodied people would crap their pants to even think about.
It drives me crazy. Like Mike Utley, if you look at Mike Utley, if you follow his routine every year, he does 10 times the shit anyone who has full use of their legs does.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
No, this guy's amazing. And the Pulitzer Prize they got was he was the first person to talk to Elliot Spitzer's mistress.
Oh, really?
The girl, number
9?
Prostitute. Yeah.
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 What was her name? Audrey...
Did you tell me that documentary?
She's around. She's around.
She
yeah, something just happened with her. She was just in the news.
Yeah, I want to say she was on TV. Was she?
Did somebody beat the shit out of her or something?
Oh dear.
Oh, I think you're thinking of another one that sued him. Another Russian prostitute that sued Spitzer.
Yeah, because he. And this was recently,
I
right? Tell you,
that guy could have been president if it wasn't for his prostitutes.
Yeah, he's back with the whores, right? That was the bottom line. Yeah. Aside from the fact that he's beating up whores.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, other than that, I think he's
He had this whore problem.
Yeah, he's pretty sharp.
The domestic violence thing, too. But
I don't know. Those two little things. I wanted to mention that.
Halitosis. If you get rid of the halitosis.
This guy.
He's got one less toe than everybody else.
Mark, is it a financial advisor that stole $43 million? He was an agent for those people.
Financial advisor. Okay. It was just like the plot to Ballers.
Oh,
The Rock show on HBO.
Yeah, I haven't been watching Ballers lately. Oh, okay. I do like the show, okay, though. But anyway, it just stuns me that why doesn't the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball, why don't they tell athletes, look, here's when you get your financial advisor, get somebody from Morgan Stanley or from Fidelity or from from one of the big companies because they won't steal all your money.
Right.
Well, isn't that the most obvious thing?
They have orientation for these guys. They have advice. They have people come and give them seminars.
And don't invest in cockamamie schemes like a mall or just invest your money. Just make money with your money. Put it in the stock market. Put it in a Fortune 500 index fund, and just watch your money grow. And it'll shrink some years, but it'll grow more years than it shrinks, and you'll have more when you end up than when you started with.
Yeah,
ahead of inflation.
That looked like a pretty sweet resort. Bingo slot machines.
I never understood in the story. Did you see the story, by the way? It was on network.
No.
He's not even taking advantage of his network stations.
I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm usually out playing sports or doing something or working.
You should be in watching TV, man. It's great.
You're missing out.
You're missing out. You're out there doing crazy stuff, man. You could be inside the house.
I figure when I get
without any threat to your health whatsoever.
When I get watching my own TV. Podcast and hang out in the I might watch a lot of TV, but until then, I'm just trying to cut my own way through this crazy thing called life.
This is crazy. I think I'm going to join a health club. I know it sounds nuts, but I need to get out and
need to get out and meet some people.
I need some endorphins is what I need.
He sets a high bar for these health clubs. He's like, okay, I want to have the treadmill, but where's the ashtray?
No, the TV.
They
all have them now. They all have their own individual.
They certainly do. Yeah, and quitting smoking. That's the other thing. I mean, I think I'm serious about
it. I've seen you quit smoking once.
I know. I quit smoking for 6 years. I quit smoking three times for over 5 years.
You quit cold turkey pretty much last time.
I'm going to do it again.
How?
I don't know, because I'm having trouble doing it this time. I don't know why it's been hard.
Oh, really? But you've been, oh, boy.
I've been thinking about it, but I'm pissed and I'm sick of it.
What about the patch or the gum?
I don't know. The gum doesn't help. It's one of those, you just have to do it. You just have to be miserable for a couple days. It's not that bad.
How long does it take? Like how many days?
I think it takes 3 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Then you're still going, you're reaching in your pocket and stuff, and but really for the really wanting one, it's only a few days.
Huh.
I don't think it's not.
But then you have to get over the oral fixation.
Yeah, I mean, to really be in the clear, I'd say a couple months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But, I think when people quit, they really want to quit.
Hey, when you started up again where you're like, just going to smoke one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. But everybody does that.
Don't you just have to, did you go buy a pack?
No, not for a while. You know what the problem is? The one doesn't taste right. You go, that wasn't very good. I got to have another one because I know it's better than that.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's weird. It's like you're not in shape to smoke or something. Yeah. It's really weird.
I was the same way with killing hobos. You're down by the railroad tracks. Some guy looks at you. He looks funny at you. You kill that hobo, and then you're like,
felt pretty good.
Yeah, this other guy's in the boxcar staring at me too. So you go in there with a machete. Next thing you know, it's like, oh shit.
Now I'm hooked.
Yeah, I'm covered in hobo blood. I guess I may as well just quit fighting it. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's the most natural thing in the world.
Yeah.
Try to quit. And
the railroad dicks, they'll never say anything because they hate those hobos. They're the only ones you see out there. In fact, depending on if you get some of the righteous one, they'll help you drag the body off, where the crows can get it.
Oh, my God.
This isn't – you're not recording
no,
this, are you?
No, 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 no. No,
just like
no.
the first part.
Yeah, okay, good.
So, anyway –
just a couple of guys watching watching The Grateful Dead or whatever it was with the zombies and Jerry Garcia.
Walking Dead,
yeah.
The Walking okay. Dead.
Oh, that's right. The Walking Dead was in part one, too, all that talk.
Yeah, I know, and all that disgusting video. We watched the two deaths, the two brutal deaths. That's when Emma walked in the door.
Were those guys already dead when they got killed, or they were alive?
They were alive.
Okay.
I know, that's funny.
No, they're alive people in The Walking Dead.
If they get killed, do they then become zombies? If you kill... If live people kill live people, are you now making more zombies? I mean, it just doesn't seem like you're helping your own odds that
way. Wait, I've forgotten. How do people become zombies in The Walking Dead in the
well,
show?
Well, you die. Everybody's okay, a, so, everybody's yeah, a becomes, carrier. So become you become, zombies, yeah, you have to mash the head.
Ah, you ain't dead.
Cut the head off, yeah. There was another sweet scene I didn't show you where Rick's on top of this RV and Negan's inside. And he starts shooting at him. So Rick runs and jumps and hangs on to a zombie who hung himself.
Ooh.
Over this overpass, there's all these zombies underneath, and he's hanging on to the zombie. And, of course, the zombie starts pulling apart because he's a zombie.
Yeah.
So he's hanging on there. And then Negan just kept messing with him the whole episode, so he helped him out.
There's suicidal zombies?
Well, they were suicidal when the virus, you know, when it started spreading.
Okay,
they're like,
okay,
I don't want to
okay.
live through this,
right,
which is
right, right.
exactly what I would do. I don't want to live in a post-apocalyptic world.
I was like that at Channel 4. I don't want to live through this.
Yeah, it was tough over there, wasn't it?
I wish somebody had eaten my brain. Then I'd been like everybody else.
How do they?
We've all had those experiences.
That's funny. I'm trying to think of people stay at Channel 4, though. There must be something about the place.
Especially if you're Carmen.
Carmen's there forever. But Carmen, what did Carmen do? I mean, she read what was in front of her, pretty much. Do you run into her a lot when you're reporting breaking news?
No, but when I worked there, she was very nice.
Oh, no, she's lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, she's gotten by with being really nice and being able to read news and being likable. I mean, really? Isn't she just a likable anchor?
Yeah, I think.
Does she break news? I mean, Aretha Franklin calls once in a while? Diana Lewis.
I only watch Fox 2 News, so I can tell you what Monica and Huell and Sherry and Taryn and all.
But you were at Channel 4 for those miserable years.
Yes, when I wasn't working, I was generally in the fetal position, so I didn't see a lot of it.
I'm surprised you went back to TV, by the way, after you left Channel 4 and went back to the paper and brought down the mayor. Which was awesome.
I think Jim Schaefer deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, he does, and he's a good guy. I like Jim.
But, yeah, no, I mean...
I read everything he writes, and I generally enjoy it very much.
TV had a big diversity push, so they decided they had enough good-looking people who knew what they were doing, and they wanted to bring somebody else in, and that's when I got the call. But the Free Press stopped running my stories.
What made you think Fox 2 would not end up like Channel 4?
One thing is I know the news director there. He was the assistant news director at the time. Now he's the news director. I'd known him since he worked at the Free Press, and I was an intern at the Free Press. And he's probably the best news guy in town, so I had a lot of faith in him. And
that if you had a story and it was a good story, it was going to get on TV.
It almost seems funny now, but I would call him when we were thinking about doing it. And I'd call him, I'd say, hey, I got this. Would that be a story? He's like, yeah, that's a story. And I'd say, okay, that's good. That's a good
story. Would he kind of go, why would you even ask?
Why? That's what I mean. By the end, I started to feel really stupid because, like, okay, I got these six things. Would you put all these on the air? Yeah. He'd say, we would put all these on the air. Oh,
wow. Well, having heard what happened at Channel 4, not to get specific, but it surprised me, I got to say.
Well, the Free Press stopped running my stories. And when the editor and publisher says, why are your stories always so hard? And you tell them, that's what you pay me for. And they basically are happy to pay you a good salary to do nothing. And there are some people who are satisfied with that, but not me. So when Channel 2 approached me, I figured, you know, I mean, I think I told the guy from Cranes, like, I'm not afraid to love again. You know, I'll try it. And if it was my last stop, that was fine. Because I was talking to some of my buddies from hockey who work for Ernst & Young and other places saying, you know, would you guys hire somebody like me to be an auditor or to be a consultant to go into a place and find out what's wrong and then file a report. You know, I mean, people get big money for that. So, so I was already looking at getting out of the business. So if Channel 2, you know, I think one reason why it did really work out, it has worked out so well, is it's like I'm playing with the house money. You know, if they say, you know what, we've had enough of this, I was like, cool. I was ready to walk away from this a few years ago because it didn't seem like there's anybody in town who would pay me to do what I do.
For those that don't know, what why was Channel 4 so bad? Or what can you share?
Because after I busted some bricks over the mayor's head, the mayor sent a bunch of people over to Channel 4 for a meeting with the general manager. And at the end of that meeting...
Just like they send people to Fox 2 now.
Yeah, they do. But you know what? The mayor asked my bosses to go to lunch with him when we were working on a story. They went to lunch with him and they came back and I said, how are we doing? He said, keep doing your story. And unlike the general manager at Channel 4, when the general manager at Channel 2 went to lunch with the mayor, he came back and said, I'm glad you're doing that story. These are important stories. We need to keep doing these. The guy at Channel 4 didn't even tell me there was a meeting, but all of a sudden all these great stories I sent their way, including stories we had agreed I would do before I went there, they're like, no, 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 no. And I was like, what is going on? And I was not good on TV. You know, I mean, I'd never done it before. I was so uptight about it. I mean, now.
But a good story is a good story.
I wouldn't say I'm good on TV now, but I'm a lot more relaxed because I'm not worried about, oh, shit, if I screw this up, I'm out, you know.
But there's nothing about TV. Your stories get across whether you think you're good on TV or not. I mean, the fact is, it's not like there's something so bizarre about you that the story's not getting across. You're just learning the business. I mean, the story's the story. So much of it's in the package anyway.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It surprises me. It's funny you talk about the free press not wanting to run your stories. I keep...
Well, now they're running one tomorrow. How do you like that?
Piece of garbage.
But there's a new boss there. There's a new editor there, Robert Hushka, who has got a more open sensibility and is more willing to try things and has more trust in his people than his predecessor, who was a nice guy, just not a bold newspaper editor. And I will tell you, and I've said this on here before, I would not be at Channel 2 if it wasn't for Charlie, because I saw what Charlie did, and they were great stories, and I said, I'm not half as out there as Charlie. So on my craziest day, they'll run my story and say, can you, you know, boost it up a little bit? Because when you see what Charlie does, he just goes out there and he does it. Whatever spirit is inside of him, that's what comes out. And I think people around here appreciate it, as they should, and respect it. And I said to myself, they're letting Charlie do great stuff in a different kind of way. And I thought, you know what? I mean, I'll be all right. I mean, he really was a trailblazer. And it's interesting, when they brought me to Channel 4, I think they wanted me to be more Steve Wilson because I knew I was confrontational and I was kind of fearless about stories and aggressive. And there's nobody in this market that's tried to recreate Charlie.
No.
Ronnie Dowell had a little bit of sort of the in-your-face thing at Channel 7. But, I mean, there were people trying to redo Steve Wilson, but there's nobody like Charlie. And
nobody's going to pop their head out of a garbage can, you know, at the front end of a story. By the way, he hasn't done that in a long time. I keep telling him, Charlie, what are you going to pop out of a garbage can?
Well, I came out of a dumpster at Channel 4, but I don't think Charlie saw that. I think he was still in New York.
I got to ask you, though, I'm sorry, about the free press. Because this makes me wonder sometimes, like, are things too comfortable over there?
No. People over there living, I mean, it's everybody in print is scared because nobody seems to see.
Well, because
a way
of the business.
Right.
But I mean, okay, just leave that part of it out. Not that you can ever leave that out, but I'm just amazed, like, you know, Drew Sharp, 33 years. Like, he gets out of college, he starts there, he's still there. He would have died there. I mean, he did die there. He would have probably worked another 10 years
early,
there.
But yeah.
Yeah. And that seems so commonplace. It's like virtually, and the same thing with Detroit News. So many of the writers, and maybe I'm just looking at sports writers too much, but it seems like they start there and they spend their whole career there.
Well, when you get to a paper like the News of the Free Press, which are some of the biggest and best papers in the country, unless you're going to go to the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, where are you going to go? LA Times? I mean, those papers are in a lot of trouble. And when you go someplace new, particularly if it's a union paper, you could have 30 years in the business, but the first day you're there, you're the first guy out the door if they go by seniority. You know, there's not the job security.
Yeah.
And one of the things that
But does anyone get fired from the newspaper? Does any writer ever say, you know what, I just don't think you're cutting the mustard anymore. You know, you need to go somewhere and get your edge back.
Not enough people, and most of the people who should be walked out are bosses. So, you know.
Yeah. No, I just wondered.
Chiefs live forever. Indians die by the dozens. So, you know, I mean, newspapers used to be profitable, and what would happen is if you had a real nitwit, you just buried them somewhere. You know, they'd be like, oh, that guy still works here? There's no place to hide now. I mean, there's just
well, there shouldn't
everybody
be.
Everybody better be pulling an oar, otherwise you got to throw them overboard.
Yeah. Just to a couple things from part one we didn't get into this Ivanka Trump story.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did you hear?
It's ridiculous.
They're trying to essentially start a boycott of Ivanka Trump's brands by boycotting the stores her brands are in, Nordstrom's, Macy's, there's a few others, because she's masquerading as a feminist and she's campaigning for Donald Trump.
Oh, was that on cable?
No, I saw it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of tweets from some women who are starting. I think Twitter really got it going.
I don't know
that it's really a story yet, but somebody picked it up and wrote about it and picked up on a lot of the Twitter activity. And there's a lot of activity.
Anytime there's an unpopular decision, there's a boycott.
What is her brand? I mean, what is it that she makes?
She's got clothes.
Cheap.
Okay.
Actually, there's supposed to be dresses that are good for feminists. I don't even understand that.
Well, they're cheaper business clothes. Like if you want a nice dress, you work in the business. It's what she wears, basically.
Okay.
But they're not as expensive as, say, the big designers.
And it really amounts to the fact that she is associated with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing is, it just seems so misguided to me. It's her father.
I know.
Is she supposed to divorce herself from her father? She loves her father.
If we stop buying those clothes, what are all these Chinese people going to do for a living?
They're going to have to make ties.
Oh, okay.
What's the Trump family going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's the one thing we don't have to worry about. And I guess Trump, there's a lot of business that's shying away from Trump now, too, which I don't know what all that.
I mean, NBC, you know, they pulled the plug on his show, and there are a bunch of other people. You know, I have trouble keeping track of what I'm not supposed to do. It gets really confusing when there's all these watch out for this, watch out for that.
It's funny how people literally want to take your living away from you if you say the wrong thing.
You're not allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, if you have an opinion, it's unpopular. Well, you know, we're just going to take your living away from you. Fuck you. You know, we'll just stop spending money in your stores or on your product.
I don't want to support people who have a view that I find to be pernicious or in some way, you know, bad for the world. But so you got somebody whose dad is running for president and they're selling me, I don't know, a pantsuit. Hey, whatever, man. I'm sorry your dad's – maybe some people think he's a tool.
That's
your dad. I'd boycott her if she didn't support her dad.
But, I think that's the problem we all agree with is that it's her dad that's running for president, not her. Why does the whole family –
She makes good dresses.
Actually, I think she may be Secretary of State and Donald Jr. is going to be Secretary of Defense
She was going to be the blind trust.
Eric is going to be the one they use to feed sharks. He seems kind of a little dim, but – I mean, that's a family where they seem very clannish, that they're going to be very close.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to be – I mean, when you think
about – Well, you notice there's never any outsiders that make it into the Trump organization, really. It's all from the bottom up. They always hire –
Or campaigning. If it's not Pence or one of the Trumps, you don't see any surrogates. Now, he's pissed a lot of people off, but you turn on the news, you got Joe Biden, Obama, Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, Elizabeth Warren. You have Bernie, all these people campaigning for Hillary Clinton,
besides Giuliani and Newt Gingrich, who wants to be out there for Trump?
And I think is even Chris Christie kind of disappeared.
But he's in charge of his transition team.
I think he's
got a lot of time on
it. He can kind of float the next couple weeks. I wonder how hard he's working on that.
We were laughing about the whole when the election's over, I'm suing all these women, and I said, oh, so wait, when he's president, he's going to file all these lawsuits against these women? Oh, no, it's because even he doesn't believe he's going to win at this point.
That's one of those things. You know, somebody, I guarantee, in fact, I think a lot of people will be keeping track of that lawsuit or non-lawsuit.
It's not going to happen.
It ain't happening.
Well, with everybody fat-shaming the Miss Universe, I'm a little disturbed that nobody rallied to Chris Christie. Remember, he was fat-shaming him and saying, this guy, you know, you got to lose some weight. He lay off the cookies or something.
I swear to God, I know this is horrible, but I really feel like Chris Christie can't be president. He's too fat. And I really feel that way. Like, I don't know, when you're representing the strongest country in the free world, you can't look that doughy.
You got to have the stamina and the fortitude.
The way he wears his pants is unforgivable. He tries to wear them way up high.
Remember his baseball
really
pants?
Not a gut there.
And you could see his moose knuckle.
Oh, my God. That was
so
horrible.
Gross.
That was hideous.
My bigger concern is when you have the Giants and the Jets playing in your stadium, you're a Cowboys fan? Come on,
I know,
pal. You can't do that.
That's weird,
because
by
he had
the
a
way.
Quid pro quo with who's the owner?
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones, who owns the
Cowboys.
Well, yeah, he owns the Cowboys, but he also owns the catering company that supplies all the Port Authority buildings, including the new World Trade Center. That's why he's tight with them.
Doesn't it seem pretty apparent?
Probably why his pants are tight too. All the
yeah,
catering.
He's eating all that food.
Based on,
which is, I'm not judging him. I'm saying it's. I think he's a handsome man.
Based on some court testimony, it would
huge.
It would appear pretty more than obvious that he had a lot to do with the little traffic backup on the bridge.
Is he not a defendant in that case?
I don't know if he's
enough testimony to
is
charge
he a defendant?
Him. No, he's not.
I don't
it's
think
just
he is.
Everybody around him has given him up.
Right. Now they are.
And they've seen the text messages and the emails, whatever, where they're saying, like, boss, we jammed him. Like you said, he's like, yeah.
Who didn't believe that when it happened? Who believed that his underlings would just suddenly go, hey, I know what we'll do? No. He had a hard on about somebody who didn't support him, and he decided he would just fuck the entire commute. And boy, did he fuck some people. Darn a couple people dead as a result of that?
I don't know if there's any directly that died, but there were some ambulances that had to be rerouted because of the bridge and took longer to get to the hospital, which I don't think he ever thought like that would happen.
No, I'm sure he did.
Such a short-sighted, angry thing to do.
No, but there was a great piece in the New York Times about the guy who kind of did that. He was a straight political operative and fixer who he hired, and they created a position for him at the Port Authority where he made a ton of money, and his job basically consisted of calling people and saying, you're going to endorse Governor Christie, right? You're going to endorse Governor Christie. And so he put him in one of these, you know, these little tucked away positions, and when he needed to go get people, he told this guy, go do it. And the guy testified, he's the only reason I worked here is because I would blow people up, and Chris Christie put me on the payroll at the Port Authority.
Dick.
And when it was time for me to go get somebody, they were talking about, what was your job description? He's like, I'm the guy who got people. It's a great story.
Nice gig. Story.
And, of course, Chris Christie was, you know, an anti-corruption federal prosecutor. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
I know.
He got in there. He was as dirty and greasy as everybody else.
Yeah.
Which probably shouldn't surprise people, because these U.S. attorneys are political people who get these jobs. It's not like they pick the greatest criminal prosecutor in the state and put him in charge of the feds. Well, that's a political
point. Like Supreme Court justices aren't really supposed to be liberal or conservative.
Right.
Hey, Mark, do you have the remote?
Yeah. Joe has it now, actually. He was making sure Dancing with the Stars was recorded for you.
Oh, thank you.
Because Calvin was dancing.
Is Calvin
dancing? Is he dancer? Is he danced yet?
Yes. Hit last right now. He's on.
Yeah, he was dancing. He was dancing in a group dance with the old turkey neck.
It looked like a dress on.
Yeah, that.
What?
That looked like some old. It looked like Beauty and the Beast or something.
Oh my God! How stupid.
With all
see,
the,
there's dumb stuff on TV.
The frilly stuff. Oh, I know.
There he is. Look, he's having a great time.
Eliminated based on last week's judges' scores.
Who's the guy with the beak?
Your team
captain. I don't want to nose shame anybody, but.
Lockdy, isn't it?
Was it Lochte?
Is that right, Lochte? Yeah, he's on it. Okay, how far in were we? That was live, wasn't it?
Almost to the end, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It's all right.
We didn't get to see him dance.
It's okay.
Darn.
I wanted to look at something else that I saw Saturday night. I was going to get to it a few minutes ago when we were talking about ML, who could have participated in this, but he's not even paying attention to his network television, which is so sad.
Well, I'm now watching Dancing with the Stars in about one second.
This is another show.
And I've just realized I didn't miss anything.
Yeah,
Saturday night while you were getting bombed.
I was enjoying the Red Wings along with a friend and some of the fine products that support America. In fact, yeah. I think I had a 20-ounce...
That are owned
ounce,
by a Belgian company?
I had a 20-ounce cup of America when I first got to the rink.
Wait, was that Calvin right there?
I have no. It went by way too fast.
He's
further up.
Cup of
for sure.
Kalamazoo, which was better.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, was much better.
Wait, that was him?
Yeah.
In the yellow?
That's him right there. You just missed him. There's old turkey neck. Ooh. Oh, trying to act hot. Gross.
Maureen McCormick. Wow. Have you seen Maureen McCormick, perchance?
Yeah.
She looks so bad.
I saw her in a hard R movie right when we got cable when I was a kid. It was on Cinemax.
Was she raped?
Yes, with Cameron Mitchell.
Yeah, it's when she showed her breasts.
Tell the story, Drew.
I brought it up that she'd been semi-nude in the movie. And she was, that was a rape scene.
As if she was
really raped. She's really mad at me.
She's like, wait, but wasn't there a camera in the room? And weren't you reading $6 to get into the movie? They're the ones who got raped.
Audio, Jay?
I remember that movie. It was a very disturbing movie.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a lot of lifts.
Outer body lift.
We can't put lifts this week.
And it was a rape scene.
I mean, we got to show off the footwork.
I mean, I was 16, so I'm getting great on the curve.
Point that toe. Ooh, that toe is nasty. That was like sickled and flexed. Is that really as far as you can go? Oh my gosh. Calvin has some serious ankle injuries from football that are actually not allowing him to point his foot as normal
people
can. We should
retire a year earlier.
I sprained so bad last year. Well, I couldn't like go on my tiptoe. Like, he's just like, you're playing flat.
Kelvin seems like he's too into this. Like, he really wanted to retire to be on Dancing with the Stars.
On keeping energy in him, then that counts as pointing.
A lot of pointed toes. So
is she 4 foot tall or is he that big?
Kicks are great. It's the hardest part.
He's 6'7", isn't he? 6'6".
Not that tall. 6'4", 6'5".
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Proving that you don't need to do crazy lifts to be a great dancer. I want this to be that dance. Good job.
Why are you breathing so hard?
6'5". Celebrity net worth at $30 million.
Oh my God, this is dumb.
Really, no, this is so dumb. First of all, the way he's dressed.
Yeah, did he get paid for that last year in his contract, or did they?
It's supposed to be a 1950s dance.
Calvin loves nostalgia.
Think anybody would have a problem with his dance in the 50s?
Sure yeah, with the white chick.
Yeah, the 6'5" black man.
Yeah, he might be shot. He looks pretty damn healthy to me.
He looks pretty happy, too. You're right, Drew.
No, he is so happy to do this. He is so happy doing this. He retired to be on Dancing with the Stars. I think it should be reported that way. Not that he was sick of losing. He wanted to dance.
What would have happened if this show was on when Barry Sanders retired?
I don't think Barry would have done it.
We had some moves, though. I mean, I wonder if we...
Oh, my God.
What could do on the floor?
There's one thing I know about Barry. He likes dancing women.
That's true. No, he has a connection to the dancing world.
A little different.
It was weird. You know, I think Barry discovered titty bars late in his career. Because we never heard anything about him being at titty bars. And all of a sudden, it was like every day somebody would email us, saw Barry at Trump's last night.
Yesterday.
What's that?
Yesterday heard a story that my buddy hung out with Barry Sanders at a titty bar.
Let me guess, Players by the airport?
It was in Windsor.
Oh, it was in Windsor? Because
yeah.
The reports we always got was he was at Players by the airport. Always.
What did he say about Barry?
He just said that him and his buddy saw him at a bar they frequented, and they're like, God, is that Barry Sanders? Nobody was around him. Said, went up to him, said, come on, have drinks with us. He did, and then they said they went to the strip club and spent like 5 hours at the strip club with Barry Sanders.
With Barry?
With
what
Barry
a cool
Sanders.
Story.
Yeah.
So that tells you Barry likes the totally nude dancing.
Yeah.
Precisely. Well, he graduated totally nude. He got sick of the titty bars because he was there every night for years,
awesome.
And so he needed a new angle. But he's been married to Lauren Campbell.
No, I think they've been divorced.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. No,
I think.
And see, he's never home.
Maybe that was the cause.
Well, he wasn't home. I mean, he was out every night at a titty bar, from what we knew.
It's how unwind.
Allegedly,
it's how unwind.
I mean, I don't know. It sure sounded like he was at titty bars a lot. I don't know if he was.
Aren't we going to see his scores?
No, we don't care about his scores. I just want to show you how happy he is.
I cared more about the scores than I did the dance.
The important thing, Mark, was how happy he is.
And he is incredibly happy.
He's never been happier. Now, this is what happened to me Saturday night. I watched this performance. I was like, oh, Lady Gaga, bah.
Which
was, I thought this song kicked ass.
The first one?
Yeah.
I love it. Julie was making fun of me for liking it. I thought it was real. I've always thought she was very talented.
If you guys want to knock off the podcast early one night, Donnie and Marie are coming to town.
Oh, come on. Listen to the song and tell me it's not good.
She kind of rocks here, man. First of all, she looks great.
She's got a great voice. Way to smoke them all. Whole pack like
Marlboro. Blow it in your face. Blow it in your face. She must be working out because I remember when she was a little chunky. I can't wait to rev you.
yoga fans.
The lyrics are kind of stupid, but I like the song.
Who listens to the lyrics? It's amazing what the best makeup can do. She looks pretty cute.
She was cute. I've seen her in some of those things when she was like an intern at MTV. She looked really nice. She's kind of a petite, you know, cute Italian chick.
She got a little chunky there for a while, though.
That was just meat she was wearing. That wasn't her.
She was on Stern this morning for a long time.
Oh, well, she probably had a lot of good stories.
So, yeah, she was good. She's a great guest.
Have you ever seen the version of Poker Face with Christopher Walken?
No, I have not.
Now, that is awesome. That is awesome.
Look that up, Jay.
No, she's
on YouTube. If you do Christopher Walken Poker Face, it's awesome.
She's performed with classic rockers in the past.
Crank her up a little bit, Jay. I'm sorry. Is the name of the song Something on the Ceiling? I immediately thought of Gold on the Ceiling, of course. Maybe I like watching her dance. I don't know.
It is about banging, I believe, right?
Yeah. I think so. I assumed it was.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot chicks, really skanky songs, whatever happened to Katy Perry?
She's busy stumping for Hillary. She gave a stump speech 2 days ago.
Ever since Orlando Bloom was nude with her, she's not into two dudes anymore.
I know. Hey,
two dudes? What?
Is that Mark Ronson?
Kidding. Oh, yes, it is.
Mark
it
Ronson.
Is.
Okay,
it
no
is.
One, no wonder I like the song. Then
she writes with Mark Ronson.
This new album.
She writes all her songs with Mark Ronson.
That's
now.
Fun. Okay, no wonder I like this song. He's phenomenal. He's great.
They just wrote 50 songs together.
Yeah.
I don't know how many chords she's really playing here.
Is that the Roger Daltrey guitar?
Or the Mick Jagger guitar?
Get busy.
It's called I Don't Know What to Do. I've never seen anyone dance behind a guitar that well. I mean, she was damn sexy in this. I've never considered her sexy in the least.
No, she was always a little weird.
Yeah.
She was a go-go dancer. I mean, that's where she was found. I think that's how she got her name, right? When she was a go-go dancer because of Radio Gaga. Gaga.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's named after Radio Gaga.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she danced to Radio Gaga, did she?
Yeah.
I love that song.
Ew.
Here's Christopher Walken. What does he read the lyrics?
Yeah.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas plays. Fold them. Let them hit me. Raise it, baby. Stay with me. I love it.
But there's a remix of it, too.
Luck and
with the music?
Play he the does the chorus.
Oh,
poker face.
And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's in his heart. Oh. Oh, oh. Oh. Ah. Oh, E. Oh, 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 I'll get him hot. Show him what I've got. Oh, 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 ooh. Oh, E, oh. Oh, I'll get him hot. Show him what I've got. Poker face.
So they do a remix with he's actually, they play the, Lady Gaga sings it and he jumps in with, they do the touch of him reading those lines.
I knew I was thinking of another song that she had done live that you really liked. Can you turn me up, Jay? I think it's being recorded by other people. Do you remember when she did Gimme Shelter with the Stones?
Gaga?
Yeah. Yeah. She's got some serious pipes, man.
God, I don't remember this. I remember when Oh, what's your face? Fergie sang Gimme Shelter with U2. Yep. Which I kind of liked. Ooh, we got a quality issue.
I know. I'll look for a better version of
this
it.
This is what part one sounded like when we first recorded it, but
I
worse.
Play it. I'll look for a better version.
Let's try this. Just a shadow. I can't believe that Nick Saban and I both love Gimme Shelter. Gimme Shelter is his favorite song. He cranks it
really?
After an Alabama victory. Or was it on the way to the game? It was either one or the other. It's like, Gimme Shelter, that's like my favorite song. I love
easily,
that song.
Easily their best.
And how, Nick Saban and I, there's something in our DNA that actually we share.
Well, you have Little Debbie oatmeal things in there. That's what he eats all the time.
His favorite movie is Hairspray.
I want to hold him.
Hairspray?
Like they're doing Texas Plains. Hold him. That
reminds me of something.
Raise it, baby. Stay with me. I love it. Luck and intuition play the cards with spades to start. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's in his heart. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 I'll get them hot, show them what I've got. Oh, 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 ooh. Oh, ee, oh, oh, I'll get them hot, show them what I've got.
I still remember when Jim Bentley went to a Lady Gaga show.
Yeah.
Because his girlfriend wanted to go.
And he loved it.
Well, he was claiming he didn't like it, but he was accused of liking it. And it was a real beat that we were really ragging the shit out of him. I really thought this chick was like a flash in the pan.
But she can sing and she can perform.
No, she's really made it big
time. All right,
let's
try this version. Maybe this is a better version, Jay. I'm intent on getting it to work.
Did you see... That's better.
It's funny watching her and Mick dance together. I don't know who has more effeminate moves.
It's like he's getting edged out of his own act.
I know.
Yeah, she dominates him physically. She's so much taller.
She's got like 2 foot.
It's really weird.
Yeah, that's impressive. She's able to move in those shoes.
Look at them dancing together. That's
funny. Every time I see the Stones, I'm afraid it's the last time I'm going to see the Stones. Like, I mean, Keith could go down. No, Keith's not going to go down. There'll be somebody before Keith.
Well, did you hear about that thing out in California, the desert, where they had...
I mean, I
wanted to go to that. The tickets sold out right away, and then we got into this project. I couldn't go out there, but what a great weekend that would have been. Oh my
Some
God.
Of the tracks off that, and watching them on YouTube, I was so... God, I loved McCartney and Neil Young doing Why Don't We Do It in the Road.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I...
Yeah,
I had a buddy out there. We're going to stay at his place and go see the shows. I thought, wow. But it's one of those things where they, you know... To sit 2 miles from the stage, it would have cost you $400 for the whole weekend. But if you want to have the curated experience where they shave a little slice of prosciutto for you and there's some kind of wine that ran down some, you know, supermodel's ass crack, you know, it's $15,000. And I'm like, come on, guys.
Seriously, $15,000?
I think there were some packages that cost that much because they put you up at a spa and you were sitting right next to the stage and the whole time they're doing – you know, home brews, and they're doing special gourmet meals. And I'm like, you don't go to a rock concert and have anything that's got parsley on it, okay? Unless it's in a little bowl. You know, this is not the way these guys are supposed to be seen.
I got to tell you, I'm a little bit sick about what's happened, just the way that's gone with, you know, all
the ticket prices in general.
Yeah, since the Gold Circle came out, it's like, there's the special people, and then there's everyone else.
Yep,
and a little bit of that...
No, I don't know. I guess sucks, but it's never going to go away.
I, you know, and because I've made some money, it sounds really obnoxious probably to hear me complaining about it. But you know, with the Cubs in the World Series,
what's up there, Richie Rich?
Ever since we monetized this podcast, I'm telling you, I got money to spend. When the Cubs got in the World Series, you know, naturally, a bunch of my friends were like, "Hey, let's go to a game," and I was like, "You guys don't go to too many big events, do you?" Because I don't think you really want to go to the game. Oh, what are you talking about? And I said, you want to pay $4,000 for a ticket? Because that's what they're talking about. Now, supposedly, they're coming down in the next couple days. Oh, to $3,300, $3,400. What's funny is they claim with the Cubs games, so many people wait in the bars around the stadium, the ticket prices go up after first pitch, because that's when everyone comes out of the bar looking for a deal. But they actually get screwed because there's so many of them fighting for the last tickets that the prices go up after first pitch.
Huh.
How bizarre.
Well, having said all that, for $400 to go see Neil Young, Paul McCartney, The Stones, Roger Waters, and were there six acts?
Bob Dylan.
Who and Dylan, for $400, I mean, to see all those guys.
Three nights.
Yeah.
No, that'd be a dream weekend. That'd be a lot of fun.
That's not bad.
For sure. I went to Woodstock.
And for another $400, you could get a beer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, the prices must have been ridiculous for that
kind
of stuff.
I'm sure.
What's up, Joe?
Real quick before you move on, not to mention the forecast for the World Series looks terrible.
Oh, yeah, weather?
You're going to freeze your ass off. You're going to pay $4,000 and freeze your ass in Wrigley Field. I remember...
Lower 40s, they're saying.
Oh, fuck. You know, this is baseball. Rain. This is. I am so sick of... I don't know. I'm about to start a rant here. I'm so sick of the NFL. I'm so sick of Major League Baseball. They don't know how to run their fucking sport. They don't care about the fans. You got the most important games of the whole season
TV.
Being played in lower 40-degree weather to play baseball. I played baseball. I sound like Lloyd Benson right now. I played baseball. Baseball is a friend of mine. Woo! You're no baseball. No. You do not want to play baseball when it's lower 40s. I know these guys are making a ton of money. They'll go out there. They'll act like champs. They'll say, hey, the weather's the same for everybody. It sucks playing in 42-degree weather. It fucking blows. You end the season when they used to end the season.
The
last World Series game
is in October.
So you're cutting games?
Fuck yeah, I'd cut games.
I'm not going to cut
games. Or I'd play doubleheaders. No, I know they're not going to because they're assholes.
Yeah.
So you're playing the most important games of the year with the best athletes in the world in the shittiest weather. Why would you do that?
Clear answer is neutral sites.
Well, remember,
like the Super Bowl.
I don't care what they do.
Play down in Miami.
Don't play important baseball games in 40-degree weather. That's insane.
Remember game four, that Tigers-Giants World Series, how cold it was that night?
Yep.
That was miserable. There wasn't one person in the stand that didn't have their ears covered and gloves
on. What about
the
Tigers? Remember the Tigers in 2006?
When it was raining. It was raining, I think, game one.
I want to say the Yankees series, there was one game, the Yankees series, or maybe it was the Oakland series. There was one game that was, it was when, who's the lefty pitched so well for us in the series? From
Kenny Rogers. Oh, he was
one of the brilliant,
unbelievable.
One of
unbelievable.
The brilliant home game he pitched, one of them, it was so fucking cold. It was freezing. And I was thinking about, as I was at the game, as I was lamenting, because I had season tickets, so I didn't pay any more than I'd pay for a regular game.
What?
But there were a lot of people who paid $500-$600 to go that game to sit in. I would have so much rather been at home for that game.
Well, now all our guys are from Venezuela, so how do you think they're doing when it's...
Remember Polanco with the whole full head covered? I mean, how ridiculous is that?
He also didn't hit for shit in the series after...
One for 17.
After knocking the cover off the ball in the ALCS and every other round.
Nobody hit in that series besides Sean Casey. He's the only one that hit.
For the World Series, we're talking about who was going to throw out the first pitch because of the whole Charlie Sheen deal.
Yeah.
Did you see they named the first two?
Oh, no. Did they? Really?
Well, one of them is a guy we were joking about yesterday. Kenny Lofton is throwing out the first pitch.
Oh. Is Bob Uecker dead, by the way?
And Carlos Baerga.
No, I don't think so.
He's alive.
Well, Carlos Baerga? Throwing out the pitch.
For who, though?
Yeah, Bob Uecker. Absolutely.
Oh, for the old because
Bob
of the movie?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
Oh, he's Milwaukee.
He's Brewers. Yeah, never mind.
But he did.
Yeah, he did the movie.
Major League.
Yeah, so, but I wouldn't let him throw it out.
The fact, though, that they're turning down Charlie Sheen, they don't even have to replace anyone. Just have him run out from center field in the uniform with number 99 or whatever and
be a maniac.
Throw a second pitch. Whatever. What the fuck?
Put on the Wild Thing glasses. Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not LeBron James. Don't you think he'd throw out the first pitch?
Yeah, he's a Yankees fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I would think he. I actually would think he would throw out a first pitch. If he does, if he doesn't, I'll be surprised.
He's been at some of the games. He's been seen at the games with Kevin Love and stuff like that.
Game one is the same night as their home opener when they raise the banner for the Cavs.
Game one of the
World Series tomorrow night.
Oh. Oh wow. See how look at these seasons all running into each other. How stupid.
So you have game one of the World Series the same night as they're raising the banner and getting the rings. That's a crazy night in Cleveland.
And I don't think I need to do much recruiting to talk to people who are so sick of the NFL and the way they treat their fans and everyone else. The NFL has so oversaturated their sport. Their ratings are diving this year for the first time in a long time.
And no one cares. Everyone's laughing at them because of it.
Of course we are. Aren't you delighted in a way?
In a way, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, think that the NFL would have to maybe start kissing someone's ass when after they just ran over anybody they could. I mean, the way they treat Super Bowl cities is just unfathomable.
Well,
but they'll continue to do that.
They have such a major disconnect, too. And it's funny, there's two insiders now in the NFL who pointed out, you remember the whole Josh Brown's the kicker, right?
For the Giants.
Yeah, and how that kind of went by the wayside last year and why they didn't do such a good investigation.
Why is that?
Two NFL insiders are saying because they were so focused on Deflategate and winning Deflategate.
Is it really that hard to focus on two stories at once?
But if you have all your legal people and investigators going after one story, yeah, I guess.
I think they have enough money to cover two stories. That's ridiculous.
That's what they said.
Well, that's pathetic.
You know, and then they're a little tone deaf too. I mean, how often?
A little tone deaf.
Well, deaf. You know, they're fining these players for doing dances, like doing the bow and arrow shot.
You know,
Because
for the longest time, I said this is complete bullshit. But I've begun to think that is there a little racism there? What is it? Why do they care? The fans love it. Sorry to tell them, but the white fans love it too.
Roger Goodell said because players are role models.
Oh, and people shouldn't celebrate things.
Not in his.
We don't want people gloating. We don't want children gloating when they achieve something.
I can't remember who. I think it's a Browns receiver did a very robotic celebration, like a real proper one. So
it's funny,
kind of mocking the NFL. So you're gonna probably see a lot more of that.
NFL is so turned me off, and I'm so glad their ratings are down. Well, how far down are they, by the way?
You know what? I'm not sure what the percentage is. Look at some of the crap games. Look at last night's game, a 6-6 tie.
Too many games on.
Well,
I don't have many games to choose. When Sunday night takes a game, Monday night gets hurt by that.
Remember back in the day, all we had was Sunday at 1, Sunday at 4, and then Monday night football. Now you have Thursday night, you have Sunday night, you have Monday night.
Right.
You have 9:30 a.m. in London, so the games are going to get saturated. You're going to have bad teams playing bad games.
I read a story about 3 weeks ago, and the numbers were, I mean, it wasn't just a few people. It was a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot less people watching football.
Well, it's not like their bottom line's really going to be hurt that bad.
No, but if it continues, I mean, this is what they can't have. Their model is so dependent on continually more revenue because they keep paying people more. I mean, actually, football has the most conservative model. They don't pay players that much compared to other sports. It's incredible that those guys do
contracts.
That. No, I know. I don't understand that. What kind of a union does football have? Shouldn't they take a lesson from baseball or NBA?
Yes, absolutely. The players do not realize how much power they have in that league.
I think we lost ML.
Sorry.
No, I'm just looking at a version of our story that's getting ready to go up on this you know, the collaboration with all the other reporters. It's getting ready to go live on the website at midnight on Tuesday? Monday, whatever it is.
Tonight. It was probably tonight because people are probably listening to this on Tuesday.
12:01 a.m.
So by the time people hear this, it's live.
Yeah, this will get posted. It'll barely be Monday when this gets posted. Okay. Sorry, Jay.
Tuesday. Today's Monday.
Another long day for Jay.
Speaking of unions, Jay,
got a hell of a union, let me tell you.
Have you started signing people up for this? These working conditions, these hours? I mean, shit. Here's my quick thought on the NFL. Screw them. I don't care about the NFL.
Who fucking cares?
I don't care about the players. They act like a-holes. They beat their women. They act like jerks.
That's
a
small minority, though.
I'm not talking about any minorities. I'm just talking about the league in general. Plus,
Here's my thing.
I'm not a big Lions fan because they've wasted too much of my time already. But when you go to a Lions game, if ever there was a place where it should be dollar hot dogs and $2 beers, the frigging cost of a beer or a dog at the Lions game, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put us through that. It's amazing that we can even hold down a meal watching this. They're better this year, so I'm going to give them that. But you're gonna charge us all that?
It's really funny when they had their throwback prices. Did you know about that? When they honored the 1991 team, they had throwback prices for beer and hot dogs for that game.
Why did they honor them? Because they won a playoff game?
It's the only good team we've ever had. 91. That's not true. We had six. We had team, six playoff teams.
What about the team where Eddie Murray missed that field goal 83? Against the 49ers? Yeah, that was a team that
Danielson, I think, threw five picks that day.
Was this the Silver Stretch?
Is that
what they call the defense line?
Silver Rush.
Silver
that
Rush.
Was Jimmy Spider-Man Lee and Another One Bites the Dust. I've got that 45.
I do too. When they had their throwback prices to 1991, though, it was only at one concession stand. So who is?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh my God! How pathetic.
It's weak.
Oh, that really would have hurt their bottom line, wouldn't it?
But what about all those people that donate their time and get half of it for their high school volleyball?
Yeah.
Team.
Whatever.
Which is another ripoff. They're basically getting people to work for
free.
Free.
Of course they are. They're all volunteers. Yep.
I mean, that's a big hustle.
Speaking of the Lions, we should mention the Washington Redskins coach that pulled out his tiny little dong.
I prefer to think of them as the Washington football team.
The Washington, okay.
A football club.
It's fine.
Led by number 8, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, who is the assistant? It's an assistant coach.
He's the special teams coordinator, special teams coach, and someone tweeted us the picture.
He took a whiz on the sideline, and he wasn't even blocked very well.
No.
And his penis is in the picture, and it's small.
Yeah, this girl in the second row.
We're not very good blocking in East Lansing either. Let's try and...
The second row on the Redskins side took a picture of him peeing into a little cup. And he's like pinching the hell out of that thing, man.
I know. It's really weird. It's like you really want to ask the guy, what are you doing to your penis when you – who pisses like that?
Well, he's only got like a 6-ounce cup to fill up. Maybe he's got to fill up multiple times.
Does this guy have a bladder issue? Who could use one of those little Gatorade cups to take a whiz? It's a whiz. He can't possibly wait to go to the men's room. He's got to take it on the field. If you're going to take a whiz on the field with people surrounding you, or even not surrounding you in his case, it better be in a 20-ounce cup, and you better fill it, and it better be foamy.
Just whip it out, lay it into the trash can, and go. I don't know. It's just it's such a weird picture. What's that, Joe?
That's right. If you had to pee that bad.
I know. In a little Gatorade cup. That's like an 8-ounce cup, isn't it? That little green cup. It's tiny.
That's why he's pinching it, because he's got to dump it out and then fill it back up and dump it out and then fill it back up.
He's dumping it on the field?
I don't. Well, it's right by a
trash
can.
I mean, come on. Where's the humanity here?
He's the special teams coach. Can't he do it after a kickoff? They probably won't need him for a while.
You might know what's special about him.
Ridiculous. Today is the 25th of October. Isn't it? I knew when I came over this day in rock. 24th. It's the 24th. Elvis got his first letter from the draft board on this day in 1956. And that was the end of Elvis. John Lennon always said Elvis was never the same after the Army, and he was right. I mean, he got out of the Army in 62, but it was the movies, the one movie a year, his idiot manager, Colonel Parker, the worst manager in history, who charged the most, by the way. Elvis gave him 50%. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. What a hick Elvis was. There's a big story about Elvis's sex life, by the way, in the Daily Mirror.
Gross.
It's a really funny story, though, because there's a lot of emphasis on the fact that he wouldn't fuck Priscilla after she had Lisa Marie.
Yeah.
I just don't like your pussy. I don't like sharing it with Lisa Marie.
You're not sure? She went the other way.
How do you like sharing Lisa Marie with Michael Jackson?
I mean, that's a rather strange way to put it, but the fact is he didn't like sleeping with women who had had a baby.
Oh, like you're that thick, Elvis. Come on. Relax.
I think he says he didn't like Sharon. He didn't like
He didn't like knowing that.
With anybody else, even your baby.
I don't like knowing a baby's in there, man.
Jealous of Lisa Marie. She was in there for a little while.
Does he not know how biology works?
Apparently not.
King.
This is a country boy from Mississippi. When Lisa Marie came out, there's probably nobody more surprised than him. He's like... my wife was kind of older. We met. She was 16.
14.
Now she got another one. Yeah, I mean, he and Jerry Lee Lewis are like, what are you, a grave robber there, Elvis?
No one gave a shit about it. That was right around the time of Jerry Lee Lewis. Elvis brings a 14-year-old girl from the Army. He met when she was 14, brings her back to go to his high school in Memphis. And nobody says shit. She's living at Graceland.
But yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis said, what are you doing with that old lady?
Yeah, and his career got ruined.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, that was
he
his
told
cousin,
reporters,
right?
Yeah. He told reporters his wife was 13 in England. Like,
Jerry.
Somebody asked him, boy, she looks awful young, Jerry. I was, she's 13. He thought there was no problem. What do you mean she's 13? What's the problem? What's been with you? You sick?
But Elvis had mother hang-ups anyway, right? Because isn't that what he always said when he hit his moment?
I'm sorry, Mama.
What?
when Elvis blew up, he'd say, I'm sorry, Mama.
Oh, shit. I hope there's no ranch dressing on that salad.
Could you imagine being the woman, though? Wait, what'd you say? What'd you say, King?
Yeah, what was that? But of course, that opposed
like you
to...
you said, I'm sorry, Mama.
Hugh Hefner.
Oh,
said,
yeah.
Well, it could be cool if you said, I'm sorry, Mama.
Yeah.
That's all right.
You're calling her Mama?
Yeah. I
mean, why are you apologizing?
Maybe he went first.
What did Hugh Hefner say before he said...
That happens?
Guy's from Ann Arbor.
Oh, yeah, you've heard.
And East Lansing, you know.
Yeah. What was Hugh Hefner's line?
God damn it, wow.
Oh, God damn it, wow.
Like, he was
right.
Still surprised that he could blow a load.
God damn it, wow. Wait, what was his speech inflection? What was our code for photography? God damn it, wow.
Because her breasts are fully.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the tuning. Her legs are, I don't know, he's got kind of a weird whistle.
Her breasts are natural.
Yeah.
They sag too much. Because her breasts are full and natural, they sag a lot.
God damn
he's
it.
Just talking about why these girls' bodies aren't good enough to be in Playboy, and it's just the most brutal analysis.
Cut it out, old man.
Because her breasts are full and natural.
He's near death, remember?
Yeah, he's 90. Weighs 90 82 pounds? Or 80? Yeah. Well, 82 since you said it was 90 a few days ago.
Oh, it's dry. He's lost 8 pounds.
I'm predicting.
Coincidentally, his 18-year-old wife is 82 pounds, too.
Hot. 1962 on this day, James Brown recorded Live at the Apollo, which is considered maybe the greatest live album of all time. The Monkees were on the cover of Newsweek on this day in 1966. Davy Jones upset. All their handlers were furious because he said, this isn't a rock and roll group. It's an act.
Oh,
Davy, what are you talking about? Pink Floyd's Adam Hart Mother was number one, their first number one, this day in 1970. The cover, it's the one with the cow in the pasture. No band members are on it, which was kind of weird.
Is it a Sid Barrett album?
Yeah, Sid Barrett's on that. He's got to be, right? John Lennon sued the U.S. government on this day in 1973, said his phone was tapped, which it was.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that file on John Lennon. Can you believe the file they ran on John Lennon? Isn't that amazing?
Hey,
wonder how much Elvis had to do with that. Because he went and told on the Beatles when he met with Nixon. Them Beatles are really bad, man.
Yeah.
They're terrible. Keith Richards fined $205 on this day in 1977 after admitting to cannabis possession, also a little heroin and some Mandrax tablets. Just a little stash.
Oops.
Yeah. 1980, Paul McCartney named the most successful composer of all time with 43 million selling compositions. 43. That was then. I don't know how many is now.
I'm still going with Mozart.
I think Mozart was a close.
Yeah, I mean, if you're third. You're talking 1850s dollars, if you adjust those.
You're counting sheet music too?
Oh yeah, of course. And the wigs.
You know who was second, by the way? John Lennon. Because he's the other composer on all those songs. But McCartney had quite a few. He had quite a few.
Oh yeah, if Ram hadn't come out, it would have been Lennon in a Walk. But
see, I'm surprised.
Oh,
like
I love Ram.
I like Wings.
I really
people give him a hard time, but I thought Wings were pretty good.
Yeah, it's some great songs. There's a movement to put Wings in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's already in there twice, but
twice.
Wings is not in Rock and Roll Hall.
Oh,
of Fame.
As a solo artist and as
he's on his own and with the Beatles, but no Wings. I mean, if anything, he should be in there with Wings and the Beatles.
Yeah, not by himself.
And then they can put him in if they want.
Or they could do him and Michael Jackson
for say,
for their two songs.
Say, yeah, that was pretty good.
1988 court case began between John Fogerty and Fantasy Records, who actually were suing Fogerty for plagiarizing his own song.
They said they owned it?
The old man, yeah, they owned Run Through the Jungle, and they said the old man down the road was too similar to it. And they owned Run Through the Jungle. And, you know, I just read Fogerty's book last year, and Fantasy Records really wanted to stick it to him. They really had a thing for. I really didn't understand it. You know, it's his book, so you wonder what you're not getting. But I mean, that was really a shit thing to do.
Well, he won
the case, by the way.
Isn't he the one that left CCR and wouldn't let them use the name? Or do I have that backwards?
Yeah, he's got a thing about them.
They used Creedence Clearwater Revisited.
Yeah.
He tried to make them stop, but he couldn't make them stop. And they played those songs, and they drew big crowds.
But is that the same company?
Did they put out their records is what I'm wondering.
Yes, they did. Okay. Yes.
Well, then, yeah, they had it out for him.
Yeah, sure they did.
Of course.
He wouldn't play those songs live either for a long time. And can you imagine going to John Fogerty and he won't play any Creedence?
No, absolutely not.
And I've forgotten what, you know what broke the chain was he was at a show. I wish I had this story. I'll dig up the book and find out what the true story is. But it was something like this. He was backstage at someone's show and they're like, hey, come on and play, John. And they knew a Creedence song and they were like, let's play. And he was like, okay. It was one, you know, just at the, he jumped into the moment and he so got into it and the crowd went apeshit.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, all right, what am I doing?
Yeah, well,
why wouldn't he? Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of that center field tune, but if you think about that, even if you like it and you compare it to the stuff he did with Creedence, it's not even, nope. I mean, just, come on, give me a break.
No, this song had a, somehow the note, the collection of notes at the beginning, he proved in court that there were four other songs that were more similar to Run Through the Jungle than The Old Man Down the Road.
So did those people sue
him? I know, that's what I thought. Are they going to sue those guys?
But he did lose when he released Old Dan Down the Toad. That case.
Yeah, it's too. That's way too similar.
They nailed him on
way
that
too
one.
Similar.
He pushed it too far.
2004. I never heard this story. Queen became the first rock band to get an official seal of approval from the Iranian government.
What?
Who are very anti. Not crazy about homosexuals, but he was Iranian.
Freddie? Yeah, yeah.
So that's apparently had something to do with it. He had a lot of Iranian pride too. 2013.
Do you think the Iranians were happy with him? What year was that?
He was dead. He was dead.
Right. Okay.
Did they know he's gay?
And so was the Ayatollah.
No. They just knew he died of AIDS. They thought he was an intravenous drug user.
Transplant,
yeah.
He was a horrible intravenous drug user. God, it was terrible. NME, a big British publication, released their 5 magazine, released their 500 greatest albums of all time. This is Britain, though. Number 5 was Velvet Underground, Velvet Underground.
What year?
2013.
Okay.
The Strokes, Is This It, at number 4. Now, I wonder where The Strokes would come in America.
Not that high.
No way.
Just before prom.
David Bowie, Hunky Dory at number 3. That is a great record. David Bowie is huge. I mean, you think he's big over here, he's bigger over there.
The original Davy Jones, by the way. Mm.
Yeah, that's right. The Beatles, number 2 with Revolver. And number 1, ML, you'll appreciate this.
Smiths.
The Smiths.
Wow. You got it.
The Queen is dead.
Wow.
The Queen
well
is dead.
Well done.
Where do you find the Smiths cover band that plays at your parties, by the way?
I met them at the tragically no longer open Berkeley Front. And they play
Berkeley
around.
Front is not open anymore?
No, it's been closed for a while. There's something going in there, though.
Yeah. I mean, my thing, I like the Berkeley
Another
Front.
Another bar,
but,
by the way.
But they used to have hand-drawn beers, which I love, man. Those English-style ales are just so good. But and the bitters. But anybody ever been to Three Floyds in Munster, Indiana, just outside of Chicago? Man, that is a great place for beer. It's run by, like, speed metal freaks who love to make beer.
Speed metal freaks?
Sounds
really?
Like a place Jay should go.
Crazy. I mean, it's a great spot. But at any rate, they have a big gig coming up at the Magic Bag, and I think they sell out real fast. In fact, I gotta.
What's the name of the cover band?
It's Smiths United.
Smiths United. Okay.
You know, I just noticed also on this day, Joshua Gabor was sentenced to 72 hours in jail, 120 hours of community service for slapping the cop. And I'll never forget this. We had her phone number for a long time. We called her, of course, from Riff a few times. Mm-hmm. But we had her number when we were in Phoenix. That's when we got her phone number. And I forgot how we got it. I think it was Bob Rivers through Zip. Zip used to call Bob and we used to, you know, network. And so we called her up and we talked to her about every 3 or 4 months. Anyway, after the cop slapping thing, someone got in a conversation and we asked her to she was so known for her consumption and shopping and all that. And we said, hey, would you do a promotion if we gave away a shopping spree or something? Would you help us take a chick shopping or somebody shopping? She's like, oh, I'd love to, darling. I'm trying to do some, you know, get some publicity. So we gave away, I think it was like a $10,000 shopping spree.
Damn,
and so I spent the day with Zsa.
Really?
I mean, a lot of the day. And the prince was there too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, it was fucking hilarious because this chick that won, when Zsa met her, she was really excited about it. She was actually very cool. She was really fun to be around. She was funny as hell. The first thing she said about this girl, and this is with cameras, all three local stations were there and they're filming this. She goes, your hair is unforgivable. And she's yelling for her hairstylist who's with her. He went everywhere. She's like, Michael, Michael. She's yelling at her hairstylist. to fix this girl's hair. And a couple of the TV stations carried it too.
Poor lady. Four sisters make all their money from wigs? Wasn't that their whole thing?
I don't know. Did they? I had no idea.
It was. I think that was...
In Green Acres.
Yeah, well, of course. Was that Zsa Zsa or Ava? I could never tell
Ava.
Which was which.
That was Ava.
Oh, it was. Okay.
No, how was the prince to hang out with, though?
He was just quiet. He was just...
Really?
Yeah, he was just under her thumb, I think.
Those towns changed after a while.
Well, when she got sick.
Yeah.
Well, he was plowing all the... He was plowing... Wait, what's her face that died? Pigsnot.
Oh,
Anna Nicole.
No, he said he was. He never was. He claimed that Danny Lynn was his baby at one time.
Yeah.
Was he really banging? Wasn't really banging her, was he?
I don't know. I thought he was.
Who would, he loved me.
Who would claim you banged her if you didn't?
A guy who
seems like something to be ashamed of.
The same guy who ended up handcuffed nude in his car.
You want to kiss
what
me?
What do you expect?
Who did that to him? Was that a whore?
He did it himself.
No, no way.
He had some whore do it to him, and then he called it in for the publicity.
What are you doing?
Your hair's unforgivable, Michael! Oh, my God. Can't believe that happened. All right. I think we've covered two parts in hour 49. Hey, man, this is our second show today.
I know.
For Christ's sake. You okay, ML?
I'm going to pull through. I will say the NME, I'm not surprised they picked the Smiths, because when I lived in Ireland, they used to have... anytime they'd have...
It's called a preemptive ooh.
They'd have a blurb on the front page about Morrissey, and it'd be like... Morrissey paid a parking ticket this week. And there's a headline. You open it up and it was like, Morrissey paid a parking ticket this week. That was all it was. But if there was anything about Morrissey or the Smiths.
They were a great band, too. Yeah,
they were a good band. But the NME was freakish for,
they were.
For Morrissey.
Oh, I didn't know
Smiths.
That.
Yeah. That's a stacked deck.
If you had asked me who I think the biggest bands in England were, I would say. The Beatles, possibly number one, maybe not though, because Queen and David Bowie.
Queen, yeah.
Queen is so big, and so is David Bowie. Really? But I think the Beatles probably over the long haul.
Queen is massive though.
Yeah, they're really big.
Cliff Richard.
Yeah. Well, maybe before the Beatles. How about Jerry Marge and Jerry and the Pacemakers?
I mean, Cliff Richard as shabby as he has, like some amazing record for number one hits.
Yeah, no, he was huge. What? He was before the Beatles. He was the biggest thing in England.
Yeah.
I think. Cliff Richards in the Shadows, right?
I'm not sure. I just know he's a big Christian guy, celibate, and there's this great show. It's like a puppet satire show called Spitting Images in England, where they're always satirizing him as kind of a tool.
There's Cliff Richard. This is his only American hit, I think. Yeah, that was a hit. God, he looks young there.
Yeah, he does.
Because he was pre-Beatles, wasn't he?
He got Joyce DeWitt's haircut.
I know, he does. He really does.
But so does Johnny Marr, and he's a great guitar player. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, he's got a book coming out.
Johnny Marr does,
yeah.
Oh, really? I tried to read the Morrissey book. It's one paragraph. It's one paragraph that goes on for like 400 pages.
What?
You know, I was trying to read it in the bookstore, and I was bored to tears.
Oh, God.
Just didn't get it.
So I went to the corner store, and I bought I loved albums. Albums were precious to me, so I bought a 45, and my friend, we took the number 3 bus, and my friend went home, and I was mad because I thought we'd spend the afternoon together, so I went home, and of course, everyone was cruel to me. And you're like, you're on page 2. You're like, holy shit, there's another 398 pages of this, and I haven't seen a period yet at the end of a sentence.
That's bizarre.
But it's supposed to be a very good book, but I mean,
no, I didn't like it. I got to tell you, I was reading it.
It's heavy sledding, man. It's heavy sledding.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just found myself spacing out. I was like, you want to find out what drove this band? What was, I mean, I don't know. He just doesn't seem like a rock and roll guy at all. It's very strange. He's very sensitive, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very sensitive.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't miss ML's piece tonight on Fox 2.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. All that Smiths talk almost.
Yeah, people might forget about it. 5, 6, and then after the baseball game.
Yes, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. It'll be on our website. That's fox2detroit.com. I'll have it on my Twitter page, which is @Elric, and at ML Elric on Facebook. And and buy the Kwame Sutra because I still have a lot of them left over. Any more plugs, Mark? I'm kind of low on plugs these days.
I think it's all of them.
I know it's a big story if it's if because the first newscast after the first World Series game, that's got to be a huge newscast for Fox 2, isn't it?
Yeah, I was bummed out that we didn't have a 10 o'clock show, but now I'm thinking if that's a good baseball game, some people might stick around. So
they must just be praying the game goes fast, though, because those games could go till 12:30. They can. Maybe over at 11. But, you know, if the news starts at 12:10, how much can you get, right?
Yeah, well, no, I mean.
But you've already been on at 5 and 6.
Yeah, but if we don't replay TMZ, then the Earth is going to stop spinning.
Oh, God. So. What is the name of the stupid show with the radio people, Mark?
Fox 2 or Dish, Fox 2? Dish Nation? Dish Nation?
Is that you guys?
Think, yeah. Well, no, I mean, all the shows on Fox 2 are outstanding. But if I were to rank them in terms of, like, super fantastic to just really, really awesome.
Yeah.
That would be the really, 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 really awesome one. Yeah. And probably the real would be like just below really, really awesome, like maybe like total shit.
Oh,
but there's
so
a
bad
continuum there. But everything that we have, including the commercials, are really good and you should watch them all.
And that's why your television is always on Fox 2. If you only watched it once in a while.
Yeah, I'm not home, but my TV is always on.
We've got to stop you from going out and making friends and doing things for charity and stupid things like that when you can be home watching TV. I don't know.
I don't make that many friends, but I do get out there every once in a while.
All right, well, thanks for coming by, brother.
Hey, man, it's been
we'll see
too long.
You soon.
It's a pleasure.
George, all right.
Congratulations. You eclipsed the 5,000 mark on Twitter.
Ooh, yes!
Well,
yes!
Right now.
5,004. Oh, how
so
exciting.
That means you're behind me, and I'm still behind Kwame Kilpatrick. So we got to turn this up, people.
Well, I had 17,000 in sports radio, and I lost all of them. I had to start over. I have to point that out anytime anyone brings up that number. But I've been 5,000 since July, I think.
Oh.
But I'm getting a lot of the same people back, obviously.
Okay. Yeah,
but I need
good.
More. Drew Mike podcast. So what are you at now? You've been fighting Kwame for a long time, man.
8,700 and maybe 22.
How many does he have?
Maybe down to 8,721.
Is he losing followers in prison?
You know, I can't tell because he's blocked me, so I can't tell.
He's blocked you, of course.
What is it?
I'm at
8,725
since appearing on this podcast, which no one's heard yet. I picked up three listeners or three followers.
All right.
So that's
Kwame and family.
I think that's
Is that
it.
Him? 10,000?
He's within striking distance.
He's slowed down the pace considerably because he was at 9,200 when you first brought it up like 3 years ago.
Oh, shit.
You got some work to do, my man.
I know. And he can't even get online, so he's kind of giving me a big opportunity here.
How do people find you on Twitter?
I'm at Elric, E-L-R-I-C-K.
Cool. All right. Follow him out.
K stands for free beer.
Do you tweet much?
Yeah, I try and put something out once or twice a day, but I'm not one of these people that just fills the atmosphere with, you know, what I had for lunch or some bullshit. Usually it's supposed to be some sort of quality added thing.
I fill the atmosphere. It's not with something I had for lunch, though, but I do spew out a lot of tweets,
you guys,
I must admit.
You guys have some good on-point comments, and you bring some other interesting things out there that I see a lot of people link to. So that's good. I like it when you guys pop up in my Twitter feed.
You know, it's funny. Saturday night, I tweeted, Cubs win the series. Cubs win the series. All caps, like six times, however many you could get in 140 characters. And then retweet this fucker was the last thing I put on there. I got so many retweets. Probably the most I've ever had, I think, with that. And I think retweet this fucker was huge.
Yeah, it's a threat. People felt scared. They had to.
They might have been.
They had no choice but to retweet that fucker.
And it was all caps, too, just for future reference. Maybe.
Oh, you must have been so pumped.
Oh, the sleepwalking incident? Didn't I mention it yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was yesterday, yeah. You know, it's funny. When I texted you congratulations on the Cubs win, and you thoroughly accepted it, as if you were did something.
I know. I felt I deserved it.
No, I didn't care.
I rooted for this team all this time.
Like, congratulations, Drew. You're like, thank you. Thank you very much. You finally did it. Schwarber, by the way, is flying to Cleveland.
He is going to be activated tomorrow.
Yep.
Wow.
Hit 5 postseason home runs last year. More than anyone in Cubs history has hit in postseason.
Yep.
In 1 year he did that.
He hits well at that stadium, too. We were talking about that off the air.
That's going to be very interesting. I'd be a little, I don't know about starting him the first game. He hasn't played in forever.
That's the smart thing they did. They sent him down to Arizona for 3 days.
I know.
Days.
It's not the same, though. It's a little different.
I guess he hit the ball really hard, but it was into some shifts.
So
he didn't get the stats for it.
but they obviously like the way he's
swinging. That'll be very interesting to see how he does.
Oh my God, do you ever stop talking?
No.
Never.
Come on, shithead, let's go!
All right, we're done. Jay needs to go. You got to get out of here. Thanks, ML.
Any night. Thanks for the ride, boys.
See you.